60. Currently we have 53 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 54. Stay tuned now. It's time for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time now for another edition of the wake-up call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry. Tonight.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get up. Get to Maine. We're going to have a remarkable week. Wednesday, that would be tomorrow. I've talked to you about the story of the baby, the 14-year-old that was, in Florida at the state-run boot camp. You've seen the video. He was beaten to death. Well, we're going to have his attorney and hopefully his mother on Wednesday. And then in the following hour, we're going to be talking about it's not just state-run boot camps where babies are dying and being killed. We're going to be talking about what happens in privately owned boot camps. We have one right here in Missouri. You know what? You don't even have to have a license to open one. We're going to be talking about that on Wednesday. Today we've got some really good shows coming at you, too. Really good couple of hours coming at you. So stay with me, folks. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back after this.
Nothing can be truer than the phrase, all politics is local. That's why Liz Brown is adding the Automatic Watch to the award-winning Wake Up Calls lineup. Every Monday at 7 a.m., Liz will be joined by Alderman Lewis Reed to discuss the comings and goings of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Do you want to know the latest bill passed? Do you want to know why it passed? And do you want to know who voted for and who voted against? Well, you're going to have to join Liz Brown when she talks Aldermanic politics with Alderman Lewis Reed every Monday at 7 a.m. Lewis Reed is going to bring local politics up close and personal, and you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Aldermanic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Hello, this is Liz Brown, and the heat is on. The third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is this Friday. You can drop your blankets off starting at 6 a.m. this Friday at the station here at 265 Union, or come on down to 3035 Bell Carver House, because that's where we will be broadcasting live. It's on, folks. It's time to drop your blankets off. And if you can't make it on Friday, feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. We're open 24 hours a day. The heat is on. The blanket drive is this Friday. I'll see you there.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is Congresswoman Maxine Waters. No matter where I am in the world, I can always get the information I need from the Wake Up Call with my friend Liz Brown.
Chestnuts roasting an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos.
Everybody
knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Whoa, tiny tots with their eyes on the glow will find it hard to sleep tonight. You know that Santa's on his way. He's bringing lots of
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Oh my goodness, we have so much stuff to talk about. And I want to thank folks for dropping off blankets. We have two huge boxes of wool blankets. Keep them coming, folks. Keep them coming. Blanket drive is on Friday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. My goodness gracious, 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. And in this day, on today's show, we have some amazing things. Did you know that in anticipation of the Democrats being the chair of the EPA committee, EPA is scrubbing, eliminating websites, information, trashing offices? We're going to be talking about that in the next hour. And then, have any of you read the Baker report, the Iraq Study Group report? Did you read in there that, oh, by the way, we should privatize the oil in Iraq? How come nobody's talking about that? Well, that's what the wake-up call is for. We're going to be talking about that in the 9 o'clock hour. At 8 o'clock, our good friends from ConnectCare are going to be joining us. It's a full ride here at the wake-up call this morning. My name is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me, huh? Let us see who the man or, let me put it this way. What kind of man are you? What kind of administration are you? We're going to find out. Hundreds of thousands of Iraqis, ones that have been displaced in their homeland because of the war that has made them safer but not yet safe. I guess if you're not yet safe, I guess proof of that is the fact that you fled your home. Well, guess where they want to live? The United States. And guess what the policy of Boy George is? Only 500 Iraqis are allowed to come into the United States. Hundreds of thousands of them are, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be, I never mean to be incorrect, so I apologize. I said hundreds of thousands and that was wrong. That was not right, and I apologize for that. I don't like being wrong, but I was wrong. I am wrong. 1.5 million Iraqis have fled their country. We did that. The official policy has been that the refugee situation is temporary and that most of the 1.5 million who have fled to Jordan and Syria will eventually return to Iraq. But U.S. and international officials now acknowledge that the instability in Iraq has made it too dangerous for many refugees, especially Iraqi Christians, to return anytime soon. So what's a good government to do? Ignore it. Now, see, these are refugees. They have fled their country as a result of the horrific, monstrous, irresponsible, reckless, dunderheaded, and that's a legal term, dunderheaded policy of Boy George. It's what happens when you put an F student in charge. So, he's in charge. 1.5 million people have fled. Now they want to come here. What's Boy George going to do? Ignore it. Ignore it. Then there's going to be some finger pointing. Is it the State Department's responsibility or the UN's responsibility? Huh? 1-877-920-WGNU. Of the 120,000 Christians who have fled Iraq and are unlikely to return home, about 100,000 of them want to come to the United States. Another dilemma for Boy George. Another dilemma for the D student, F student. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Brother Mac, good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. I was watching C-SPAN yesterday, and I happened to notice that Dennis Kucinich had chaired a study, the results of a study called the Lancet, L-A-N-C-E-T, report. And there were three scientists that co-sponsored that report. The sad thing about it, there was only about six or seven media representatives, and none of them were the major ones. And in that report, the result was 655,000 Iraqis killed as a result of this war as of July of this year.
Yeah, that came out some time ago, Brother Mac. That they reported on that some time ago.
It was just something that they aired. They said it had aired today. It was a lot.
Right. I mean, but that number, 600,000, I did a show on that number, 600,000, a couple months ago. Yeah, so I guess it's a follow-up on that or something. But, yeah, that number has been out for a while.
Yeah, well, it was something that they did on C-SPAN. It was on live yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, that I mean, 600,000 is the number. And as a matter of fact, I had a guest on talking about how they reached that number and how some people were challenging the statistical configuration of that 600. In fact, some have said it's up to 650,000.
The thing that really tripped me out is that there were no media. I mean, the chairs were empty. You can hear the crickets in there.
Mm.
It was really sad.
Mm.
Well, that's it.
Okay.
Thank
take care. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You know what? You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Stephanie.
Yes, Liz. I was just sitting here listening to you, and my stomach, it hurts every time I hear Bush's name. But is there going to be a problem when whomever decides how many Iraqis are able to come over? Our country is in a state of chaos as it is. Do we need to add more chaos?
And chaos comes from what?
Just all of the decisions that Bush is making, all of our troops that are over there for whatever apparent reason now, all of the killings that have happened to just our children, our families, our brothers, our husbands that are over there. What's going to happen with that?
Okay, connect that if you can. Connect that for me, because I don't understand, with the 100,000 Iraqis that want to come here.
Right. Well, actually, I'm trying to find out. I'm asking you if that's going to be a problem for us to accept those 100,000 Iraqis.
Okay. Who's the us that we're talking about? Are you talking about George Bush us or American?
I'm talking about America us.
I don't know. Why would it be a problem?
Well, I'm just looking at all of the things that we have going on here and how we're all supposed to be working toward a better America. But it looks like to me that things are just going the opposite direction. I don't see where things are getting better.
Are you saying that the allowing 100,000 Iraqis here that have been displaced as a result of this government's policy would bring chaos here?
Well, no, I'm not necessarily saying it's going to bring chaos here, but I'm just trying to find out who's going to make that decision as to how many are going to come here.
It would be that administration. It would be Bush's administration.
It is Bush's administration. Okay, yeah.
All right.
I'm trying to make sure because Bush just makes my stomach hurt real bad.
I understand.
And some of the decisions that he makes, I don't know where they come. It's like
I understand. We're taking a break. I'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Open from American Express. Southbound 270 at Big Bend, the right lane's closed due to police activity. Southbound 170 at Natural Bridge, there's an incident to report in traffic lanes. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for normal traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and 270, look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and Mid Rivers Mall, look for slow traffic going on. Northbound 270 at 44 is slow on either side of the interchange. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and 270, traffic congestion is on the map there. Westbound 270 between 367 and 170, look for no delays. Westbound 5570 at PSB, look for slow traffic from the Illinois side of the river on in. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for everything to be running smoothly now. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank into Laclede's Landing, it is heavy. And out in Gray Summit, Highway 100 at Fox Creek, there's an accident that's been reported. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Open from American Express. Open, how American Express serves small businesses. To learn more, visit open.com or call 1-800-NOW-OPEN. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, cloudy, chance of showers and isolated thunderstorms this morning, then mostly cloudy by the afternoon with a high around 60. This evening, mostly cloudy, colder in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 30s. Then for Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high around 60. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 53 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 54. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, this is Liz Brown, and the heat is on. The third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is this Friday. You can drop your blankets off starting at 6 a.m. this Friday at the station here at 265 Union, or come on down to 3035 Bell Carver House, because that's where we will be broadcasting live. It's on, folks. It's time to drop your blankets off. And if you can't make it on Friday, feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. We're open 24 hours a day. The heat is on. The blanket drive is this Friday. I'll see you there.
Hi, this is Ellen. I'm with the Citizens Commission on Human Rights of St. Louis, and I invite you to tune in every Saturday evening at 9 p.m. for the Electric Shock Radio Hour. This program is dedicated to investigations and exposure of psychiatric abuses of human rights. Tune in and find out what's happening in our society and what you can do to help. That's the Electric Shock Radio Hour, 9 p.m. Saturday nights, here on WGNU.
Make your holiday exciting by celebrating Christmas New Orleans style.
Come for the food.
Come for the art.
Come for the history.
Come for the sweet sounds of jazz.
Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan a December getaway filled with Réveillon feasts, free concerts, French Quarter shopping, and all the excitement of Harrah's Casino. And make it last with discounted hotel rates, courtesy of Papa Noel himself. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today to get your free guide with more than $2,400 in coupons and jazz up your December, New Orleans style.
Come for the fun.
Come feel good.
Come for the beauty. Come for the
spirit, heart, and soul.
Come for it all.
Come fall in love with New Orleans all over again.
Discover Christmas New Orleans style at NewOrleansOnline.com.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Not of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind. Run, run, Rudolph. Randolph ain't too far behind.
Wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. We have much business to tend to. Reports are coming out today that in 35 years there will be no more ice. You all have heard the stories of polar bears drowning because they can't swim. There's so much water between the ice that they're drowning trying to get from ice hunk to ice hunk. Scientists are saying due to global warming within our lifetime, God willing, I should be here in 35 years. God willing, all of you listening to the sound of my voice, so many of you will be here in 35 years, God willing. And, you know, I mean, this is where we are with global warming. So the guest I'm going to have on in the next hour is very timely. In the midst of all of this, in the midst of the ice melting, the sea warming, snow and Katrina's and all of that, what is our good government doing under this administration? They are destroying the EPA records. Oh, you've got to hear this story. You have got to hear this story. In the next hour, I'm going to be joined by Carol Goldberg, and she's going to talk about, in defiance of congressional requests to stop destroying the stuff, the EPA boogies on, parties on, dude. We're going to talk about that in the next hour. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, we are going to be joined by our friends from Connect Care. They're going to talk to us about stress during the holiday season. We need to have that conversation. And then, have you really read the Iraq Study Group recommendation? They're recommending privatization. The devil is in the detail. And I do mean devil. The devil is in the detail. That's going to be in the 8 o'clock hour. My goodness, so much stuff going on in the wake-up call. Please, please, please get your blankets to me. Listen very carefully and then pass it on. Here's the word, folks. Here's the word. You can drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union 24 hours a day, anytime up until Friday.
You can drop your blankets off if you can't drop them off on Friday. But on Friday, we're asking you to come on down to 3035 Bells, George Washington Carver House, where we have our annual blanket drive. And we will have curbside pickup for you. Curbside pickup for you. People will be taking your blankets from you. Or if you can't make it to that location, because this is the wake-up call, we do it. We try to accommodate you. Come on down to the station at 265 Union. Drop off your blanket. You don't even have to get out of your car. And if you want to, sit a spell with us over at Carver House. We'll have hot chocolate. We'll have coffee. We'll have conversation. We're going to have entertainment. We're going to have folks coming by. So come on by. Hang out with us from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. while we gather the blankets. And then come on out with us again on Saturday, because that's when we're going to be delivering the blankets. So those are the details. Pass it on. Pass it on. I want to thank, of course, Phil Person for the $500 check he gave yesterday. 100 blankets, y'all. That's 100 blankets. That's 100 blankets. I want to thank Lewis Reed for his $500 check, 100 blankets. Quincy Troop said, oh, no, 500 is not all we're doing. So I don't know what to expect from him. Also, the International Urban Institute, their blankets. Everybody's giving blankets. So come on down on Friday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. to George Washington Carver House. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up, get to me. Huh? You tell me. A military watchdog group is asking that the Defense Department investigate whether 7 Army and Air Force officers violated regulations by appearing in uniform in a promotional video for an evangelical Christian organization. Oh, Lord. Lord. Now, remember, we have had a military personnel get in trouble for being around announcements that are anti-war. They didn't even make announcements, but they were there in their uniform. Do you think it's appropriate? I don't think it's appropriate. In the video that was filmed, and check this out, the video was filmed inside of the Pentagon. 4 generals, 3 colonels praised the Christian Embassy, a group that evangelizes among military leaders, politicians, and diplomats. Some of the officers described their efforts to spread their faith within the military. You can't do that. You can't do that. We live in a country where imams are kicked off of planes for practicing their faith. We are already so intolerant of other religions. This many people in this nation are so intolerant. We don't need that. It is inappropriate for the military to be. What you gonna do? Your general is telling you you should be Christian. And you're Muslim. How intimidating, and you're an aspiring young first lieutenant. How intimidating is that? Your general, your colonel is evangelizing. That's wrong. That is wrong. One Air Force Major General Jack Catton says in the video, I found a wonderful opportunity as a director in the joint staff as I meet the people that come into my directorate. I tell them right up front who Jack Canton is, and I start with the fact that I'm an old-fashioned American, and my first priority is my faith in God, then my family, then my country. I share my faith because it describes who I am. No. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back at you. Stay with me. Blankets off starting at 6 a.m. this Friday at the station here at 265 Union, or come on down to 3035 Bell Carver House, because that's where we will be broadcasting live. It's on, folks. It's time to drop your blankets off. And if you can't make it on Friday, feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. We're open 24 hours a day. The heat is on. The blanket drive is this Friday. I'll see you there.
What America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds. Those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work, to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hey everybody, I'm Scott Cooper. I want to invite you to tune in to my show, Floral Design Inside and Out, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. right here on WGNU. Join me as I take you on a journey inside the incredible world of flowers. I'll entice you with ideas from weddings to home entertaining and so very much more. I'm all about flowers and a whole lot of fun. Please join me Tuesdays at 10 a.m. as we stop and smell the flowers right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I don't need a lot of presents to make my Christmas bright. I just need my baby's arms wound around me tight. Oh, Santa, hear my plea. Santa, bring my baby back to me.
Santa, bring my baby back to me.
The Christmas tree is ready, the candles all aglow. But with my baby far away, the good is a mistletoe. Oh, Santa, hear my plea. Santa, bring my baby back to me.
Santa, bring my baby.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call?
Yes, Liz, good morning.
Craig, good morning.
Liz, the other day I was listening to a different radio station, and they had an interview with Kofi Annan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's leaving the UN.
After 10 years, yes, he's retiring at the end of this month.
You know, Liz, I didn't realize he was a Nobel Prize winner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just strange the contempt that George Bush and his administration showed for this man.
Well, it's very consistent. I mean, anybody that articulates a position that is not what George Bush is, it's not an aggressive position that furthers the agenda of George Bush, then this administration has contempt for them. This administration has contempt for people that support them. So it is not inconsistent that they would have contempt for a Kofi Annan. And also, there's the race piece of it.
Yeah.
Also, there is the diplomacy piece of it. And also, Kofi Annan has not, he did not bend to the will of America like they wanted him to. For example, John Bolton wanted Kofi Annan to go after one of Kofi Annan's, and I can't remember his name, but wanted him to go after another member of the UN after this member criticized John Bolton. And Kofi Annan's like, no, I'm not. And it's not to say that Kofi Annan stood up against everything that the Bush administration did, because he was also complicit in this whole Iraq piece.
Yeah. Now, Liz, how do you think his son, his son put himself in that compromising situation that also compromised his father's position?
Mm-hmm.
I think that that was a, you know, like the game of chess, I believe that that was set up just to put Kofi Annan in that compromising position. I don't think it was just a coincidence that his son got into trouble like that. I think it was calculated.
Well, it could be. It could be. I mean, it could be. But I mean, and if it was or it wasn't, again, looking at the entire legacy of this individual, if that was the only problem within this 10-year, I mean, look at George Bush in 8 years, less than 8 years, in 6 years. If we're going to compare scandals, I think that what has happened under the tenure of George Bush is huge. The world did not, let me just put it in this perspective. The world did not change as a result of what Kofi Annan's son was accused of doing. Okay.
Oh,
the world has changed as a result of the policies and the practices and the illegalities engaged in by Boy George.
Yeah. He's coming to town. I mean, coming to the state.
He was already here. He was here yesterday.
Oh, I missed him. Huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was at Truman University yesterday, where he gave his farewell speech.
I wonder if I could catch that on TV somewhere.
Don't know. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And what is interesting is that a headline that was in yesterday's paper, as Boy George says, the USA Today, the Google, the idiot. What the USA Today said yesterday, headline above the fold, Annan to blast the U.S. in farewell. Huh? Historian, the 61-year history of the U.N., no secretary general has ended his tenure by criticizing U.S. policies so sharply, said a historian of the United Nations and author of a new biography of Annan. I don't imagine it's a positive, but I don't imagine it's an authorized biography. But I mean, you gotta listen to the things that Annan said. They're consistent with what he has said throughout his tenure. He said, governments must be accountable for their actions in the international arena as well as the domestic
arena. Kofi Annan acknowledged terrorism, but he cautioned nations against acting alone. I mean, shouldn't somebody say something about, you know what, look what happens when folks go it alone? Over 600,000 dead Iraqis, a country in turmoil, the Middle East on fire. So how does that going it alone, preemptive stuff, work? How'd it work for you, baby? Was it good for you? Kofi Annan said that against threats as these, no nation can make itself secure by seeking supremacy over all others. You think? 1-877-920-WGNU. Critics of Annan say that the Ghanaian-born, U.S.-educated diplomat mismanaged the $64 billion U.S. oil for food program. That's it? 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. You're on the wake-up call.
Liz, how you doing?
I'm outstanding, Mike.
Liz, I remember talking to you the night that Al Gore gave up, and we said that George Bush would be the worst president ever to hold that office. And I think what black people as a whole diagnosed has come ringing true. And I think this debacle over in the Middle East is going to have years of repercussions behind it. And I think one of the things that George Bush did when he first got into office, he made a comment about just foreign relations being an afterthought, and he wasn't in the nation building. What happened to that?
Well, the same thing, that happened to, we're going to get rid of the, double the deficit. We are not going to, we're going to eliminate these departments, and he creates the largest department in the history of the United States. It's a lie. He's a liar.
And Liz, I remember you saying that this guy had no credentials whatsoever to hold that office. I mean, all he had was 3 or 4 years as a governor?
A weak governor. I mean, that's like, you know, and what is interesting is that they're saying that, well, you know, and I'm not a Barack Obama fan by any means, but they're saying, well, does Barack Obama have the leadership skills? Well, what did Boy George do?
What did he bring to the table?
Nothing. And it shows.
And let me just say this in closing. They say that we're spending $8 billion a month over there. $8 billion. How much help could that have done for the inner cities of America to bring them up to standards and living conditions if we spend that type of money in the good old U.S. of A?
Oh, how about just let's spend it on universal health care? Let's do that. Think about how many boats would be lifted with universal health care.
I mean, this is absolutely insane that this fool is now. What's this guy from Oregon, the senator for Oregon? He said what George Bush has done, listen, and it's not getting enough play. He said what George Bush has done is actually borderline criminal. Did you hear him?
No, I did not.
He said it was borderline criminal.
Borderline? You don't think it's over the line?
Well, I'm just amazed that a Republican senator.
But you got to understand how far along we are now, you know, and how freed some people feel now. You know, Republicans aren't in power. Folks are going to step out a little bit now. So, got to roll, Mike. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Al?
Yes, Liz, good morning.
Good morning.
I want to weigh in on this Barack Obama. I was on the internet last night. He went to New Hampshire yesterday.
That is correct.
I lived in New Hampshire when I was in the Air Force there. And do you know that now they're beginning to highlight the sharks are circling in the water? They're beginning to highlight his name. His first name is Barack, and his middle name is Hussein. And his last name is Obama, and if you switch a letter out, that would be Osama. So they're saying, do we want a president that sounds very similar to the Iraqi dictator, perhaps?
Well, how did it work out? How did it work out? How did it work out?
The last name is very close to the most wanted man in the world there.
How did it work out to have a president with the same name as the first George Bush?
There you go.
Thanks for your call. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. I'll be back with you in the next hour.
To a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
News. I'm Daria Aldinger. President Bush says he doesn't pay much attention to polls. That may be a good thing, considering an ABC News Washington Post one that's out this morning. ABC's Ann Compton has details from the White House.
In the weeks since the Iraq Study Group report, disapproval of the president's handling of the war has intensified to a record 70% of those questioned up through yesterday. 28% approve. 61% say they now believe the Iraq War was not worth fighting. And in the new ABC News Washington Post poll, disapproval of the president has crept back up to 62%. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
The poll of just over 1,000 people has a 3% margin of error. The president meets with U.S. commanders in Iraq via video conference today, and he hosts Iraq's Sunni prime minister in a visit to the White House, Sunni vice president, rather. At least 60 people are dead in the latest Iraq violence, a pair of bombs in Baghdad. The key word may be onion, but not necessarily green. ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey now with more on the latest investigation into E. coli contamination that's made dozens of people sick.
Green onions may not be the culprit after all.
There's been no specific food implicated yet.
Dr. Chris Braden at the Centers for Disease Control, after government tests on green onions from a New York Taco Bell came up negative for E. coli. Now they are looking hard at white onions. With close to 300 suspected E. coli cases in several states, more than a dozen other people in Minnesota and Iowa became ill after eating at the chain of Taco John's restaurants. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
I'm going to go light a candle for him and just keep him in my prayers.
A neighbor of one of the hikers who is missing on Oregon's Mount Hood. Heavy snow is complicating the search for the three. One of the hikers called for help on his cell phone, said he was in a snow cave and had hypothermia. He said the other two went off to look for help. This is ABC News.
My husband had a health concern a month ago.
Mr. Thompson, everything looks good.
Oh, thanks, doctor.
It turned out to be nothing, but it got us doing more for our health.
And stretch and bend.
Like morning exercise and taking silver.
Centrum Silver Multivitamin is age-adjusted. It helps protect your health as you age with key antioxidants that help support natural cell repair. Centrum Silver Multivitamin.
Things have sure changed around here.
Our health protection starts with silver.
Take along with a healthy diet and exercise.
You're on the Ovaltine Nutrition Hotline with nutritionist Felicia Stoller.
Hi. I worry my two teenage daughters aren't getting enough iron. Which milk flavoring provides more iron, Ovaltine or Nesquik powder?
For your girls, I recommend rich chocolate Ovaltine. It provides 20% of the daily allowance of iron, while chocolate flavor Nesquik powder has only 2%. And not only is Ovaltine a rich source of iron, but it has over twice as many vitamins and minerals as Nesquik, so Ovaltine's more nutritious. And kids love the taste of rich chocolate Ovaltine.
More Ovaltine, please!
Borat mates say high five to this. The controversial character has won again in court. Here's ABC's Chuck Severson.
Yes, Samaz. My name is Borat.
Lawyers for the two frat brothers wanted footage deleted from the DVD release of Borat. Then they tried to get release of the DVD stopped. A Los Angeles judge ruled against them both times, saying they hadn't proved the merits of their case. Lawyers say the filmmakers got their clients drunk before getting them to sign release forms. The students are shown drunk, making racist remarks about minorities and slavery to the actor playing a Kazakhstan TV journalist. The students claim the movie cost one a job at a major corporation and the other a prestigious internship. No trial date set. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Remember Dennis Kucinich? He ran for president in 2004, the liberal congressman from Ohio. He'll try again in 2008. He says the Democrats haven't pushed hard enough to end the Iraq war. Manpower says a quarter of the nation's companies plan to hire in 2007. About 60% hold steady and 6% haven't figured out what they'll do. ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, two teenagers are jailed in St. Clair County in the death of an O'Fallon, Illinois man. 17-year-old Anthony Lawson Jr. is being held on $500,000 bond on a first-degree murder charge. Lawson allegedly shot 42-year-old Corey Kirsch over the weekend. According to the Belleville News-Democrat, Lawson is claiming he was defending himself. Another suspect, 19-year-old Amanda Kent, is charged with obstructing justice for allegedly concealing evidence and is being held on $20,000 bond. St. Charles police are asking for the public's help in finding an armed robbery suspect. Police say the suspect claimed to have a gun but never displayed one in a robbery Sunday evening at the Citgo in the 300 block of Houston. The suspect is described as a white male between 27 and 30 years old, 5 feet 6 to 5 feet 8 with a slender build, with a blonde mustache and large ears, and wearing a single stud earring. Anyone with information is asked to call the St. Charles Police at 636-949-3320 or the anonymous tip line at 636-949-3333. Candidates can start filing today for the next St. Louis School Board election. Two candidates, Catherine Wessling and David Jackson Jr., already have representatives holding places for them in line at City Election Board headquarters. Two school board slots will be filled in the municipal election next April 3rd. A Missouri public policy research organization is trying to do away with the state income tax. The Show Me Institute yesterday released a report on how to eliminate the income tax by the year 2020. Stephen Moore, the co-author of the report, says Missourians would instead pay taxes through the sales tax.
With this plan, the sales tax would remain at its current rate, and what would happen is that the excessive spending that's happened in the last 10 years would be reduced to a more reasonable rate of growth.
Moore says doing away with the income tax would allow for more economic growth in the state of Missouri and wouldn't cut vital government services. Finally this hour, the Blues have ended their relationship with head coach Mike Kitchen. The team announced yesterday they have relieved Kitchen of his duties and have replaced him with Andy Murray. Murray led the L.A. Kings from 1999 until he was fired in March. He is the Kings' all-time leader in wins at 215 and games coached at 480. He also led Team Canada to gold medals in the 1997 and 2003 World Championships and is the only Canadian coach to win the gold twice. He becomes the 22nd head coach in Blues history. Kitchen took over for Joel Quenneville in 2004 and led the note to one of their worst seasons in franchise history last year as they were last in the league with a record of 21-46-15. After 28 games played this year, the Blues are last in the league with a record of 7-17-4. This WGNU News report is brought to you by Open from American Express. Open, how American Express serves small business. To learn more, visit open.com or call 1-800-NOW-OPEN. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Bryant-Meyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Southbound 270 at Big Bend, the right lane's closed due to police activity. Eastbound 70 at Earth City Expressway, there's an accident reported. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and 270, look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road, all the way into Mid Rivers, you can expect delays. Northbound 270 between Gravois and Marshall, it is slow. All your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge, westbound on 5570 from 64, you can expect slow traffic there. Northbound Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge is still moving freely. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split into Laclede's Landing, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 64 over on the Illinois side from the 15th Street into the PSB, look for some delays there as well. Laclede at North Kings Highway, there is an injury accident, and it's involving a school bus, so use caution out there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Illinois Lottery. Play pick three green ball double draw from the Illinois Lottery through December 24th. One green ball, two chances to win. Illinois Lottery, have a ball, play responsibly. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Cloudy with a chance of showers, even an isolated thunderstorm this morning, then mostly cloudy by the afternoon, high around 60. This evening, mostly cloudy, colder in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 30s. And for Wednesday, partly cloudy, a high is expected around 60. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high around 60 as well. Currently, we have clouds and 53 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 53 as well. Stay tuned now for more of the award-winning Wake Up Call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Steele.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Steele.
Boom. Boom, 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 boom.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany's. believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me.
Boom, 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 boom.
Santa baby forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. EPA scrubbing library website to make reports unavailable? Really, we need to talk about this. And to facilitate that conversation, Carol B. Goldberg, Associate Director for Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, is joining us from Washington, D.C. Carol, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Good.
Carol, in the budget for 2007, George Bush deleted $2 million of support for EPA's libraries. How much impact did that have?
Well, it's actually turned out to have an enormous impact. They have been closing regional libraries, as well as some of the specialized chemical library in Washington, D.C. They've closed the headquarters library. And they seem to be planning future cuts as well.
Well, okay, can we, I guess what I'd like to do is back up just a little bit. What is an EPA library, and why should anybody care?
Oh, boy.
Well, think on that. We have to take a break, okay?
Oh, sure.
We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Carol B. Goldberg, Associate Director for Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. This is Liz Brown, and the heat is on. The third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is this Friday. You can drop your blankets off starting at 6 a.m. this Friday at the station here at 265 Union, or come on down to 3035 Bell Carver House, because that's where we will be broadcasting live. It's on, folks. It's time to drop your blankets off. And if you can't make it on Friday, feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. We're open 24 hours a day. The heat is on. The blanket drive is this Friday. I'll see you there.
Now, Goldie's Music has assembled over 50 of the greatest rock and roll songs ever recorded in one 3-CD set called Rock and Roll Greats. You'll get Bill Haley in the Comets, Jerry B. Lewis, the Everly Brothers, Gene Vincent, Brenda Lee, Fats Domino, Danny and the Juniors.
Balls of fire!
Yes, over 50 of the best rock and roll songs in one package, a must for any collection. Nothing but the hits from Carl Perkins, Bobby Day, Lloyd Price, The Platters, Little Richard, The Diamonds, The Beach Boys, and many more. 50 rock and roll greats.
Let's go surfing now, everybody's learning now, come on a safari.
Plus, the best of the girl groups.
Everybody's doing a brand new dance now.
That's when I fell for leader of the pack.
Call now and order Rock and Roll Greats. Makes a great gift. Call 1-800-577-3995. That's 1-800-577-3995. 1-800-577-3995.
The 25th anniversary tour of Cats is coming to your hometown. It's the original magical musical. It's a memory to last 9 lifetimes. Don't miss your chance to introduce your family to the wonders of live theater with the magic, the mystery, the memory of the Cats 25th Anniversary Tour. See it live on stage, then take the memory home forever with the Universal Studios home video. Coming to the Fox Theater December 27th through 31st. Tickets on sale now at MetroTix. Presented by the U.S. Bank Broadway Series. It's your last chance to see the 25th Anniversary Tour of Cats.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? And so this is Christmas. I hope you have fun. The near and the dear ones, the old and the young.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I am talking to Carol Goldberg. She's an associate director for Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. to talk about the EPA scrubbing the library website to make their reports unavailable. Carol, welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, you were going to tell us, you were going to explain to us these libraries. What is an EPA library, and why should it matter to us?
Okay. Until recently, the EPA had a network of 26 libraries around the country. And in these libraries are hundreds of thousands of documents, research reports, decades of work that is used by employees of EPA, EPA scientists, EPA enforcement staff, as well as the general public, to get information on matters related to both public health and environmental protection.
So any of us can go into an EPA library and get information?
Exactly.
Okay.
At least that was what was true. That seems to be changing.
Give us an example of the type of thing that is archived at an EPA library that would be important to us.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Give us an example of something that would be archived at one of these EPA libraries that would be important to us and necessary for its preservation.
One example would be information on chemicals. People may or may not be aware that every year industry seeks to introduce hundreds of new chemicals into products in this country. And when EPA scientists are researching whether or not that's a good idea, they start by looking at similar chemicals based on material in these libraries. So if they can't find out, if they don't know what we already know, it's much harder to assess.
Well, is this information stored anywhere else?
No, much of it's not.
And certainly it wouldn't have the access of the average citizen walking into a place and getting this kind of information.
No, and a further problem is that once you, what the EPA generally has been saying is that their aim is to modernize, to bring the libraries into the digital age, which is fine. It is possible that having things online would make them available to more people, but there is so much information that will not be put online. It's much different to go into a building where there's a knowledgeable librarian who can help a person find what they're looking for, who's familiar with the collections, who knows what's out there and knows how to navigate it. How many of us, who among us has not wandered through a website desperately trying to find what they're looking for? And that's without, with things that aren't even necessarily quite as technical as a lot of this information is.
So EPA is saying that we're going to eliminate these libraries because everything is being digitalized and we don't need any libraries. Is that fundamentally their position?
That's exactly right. That is fundamentally their position.
Well, can we just make a quick comparison here? So then if that's the case, then we don't need public libraries, then we should just digitalize everything and then there's no need for a public library.
Well, they might agree with that.
Because, so I guess the point I'm trying to make is that there are some things out there that cannot be digitalized.
Exactly. And if you think, if you look at what's in these libraries, in the EPA libraries, there are tens of thousands of obscure journals that are not available online. There's 500,000 books. There's hundreds of thousands of documents on microfilm. A lot of this is, even if it were going to be online, which it's not, the ease of use is so much, it's just so much more functional when you can actually look at the document than to try to use it online in some fashion.
And once again, there is a librarian at each one of these EPA libraries.
Right.
So, and are the libraries also kind of regional? For example, the Chesapeake Bay study, that's only available at one particular library. It's not available at all of the libraries, right? So each library may have something unique and special to the region where that library is located.
Exactly. Exactly.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, Carol, the EPA, in anticipation of digitalizing all of this stuff, has closed libraries before the digitalization has occurred?
Exactly. They've started, but even they say it would take a couple more years just to do the documents that they are able to digitize.
Digitize.
That doesn't begin to address all the documents that will never be digitized and that have basically just... It's as if, I mean, they have the haste with which they're doing this. The other pretext, to back up for a second, the other pretext for doing it is budgetary, that they needed to make cuts in the EPA budget. But the EPA budget is $8 billion, and this is a $2 million cut in a budget that hasn't even been approved. The FY07 budget has not been approved by Congress.
So they're... acting as if they've had a cut when the cut has not been approved. And they're
exactly.
saying they're using that as a reason why they're doing this.
Exactly.
And at the same time, don't we have the EPA also spending $2.7 million to digitize their employee personnel files?
They do indeed. and they also...
So, I mean, how in the greater picture of things, Carol, which one is more important, the digitizing of employee personnel files or the digitizing of the Chesapeake Bay project?
Well, obviously our belief is that the actual scientific information in these libraries is irreplaceable, and its value just can't be overstated. So you can't even begin to compare it to digitizing employee records, or even worse, they're spending money on a PR campaign that they call Science for You to talk up the EPA science program, even as they're destroying their program.
Now, does this have a political component to it, Carol? I mean, is it a coincidence that the closing of these 11 libraries has anything to do with the change in the majority in Congress?
Well, the change, I mean, these started before this recent change in Congress, if that's what you're
okay.
asking.
Right. Back in June, 10,000 EPA scientists were protesting the library closures, right?
Right. I mean, we've actually been working on this issue for getting close to a year now. I think, in fact, the change in Congress may bode well, at least I don't know if the libraries can put back together, but there's certainly been increased congressional pressure for them to stop the dismantling of the libraries.
Well, I mean, to be clear, the new Congress has said stop dismantling the libraries, and yet the dismantling goes on.
Well, they have said stop, and it was the next day after Congress sent a letter that they delinked. In other words, made inaccessible online documents at the chemical library. They have since restored those documents and claimed it was an accident. But one does wonder what they're thinking.
Well, and also when we talk about the closing of these libraries, we're talking about closing the door, putting a lock on it, and selling all of the stuff, and the haste that these libraries have been sold off. Tell us about the one library, what it sold for.
Well, the Chicago Library, which was one of the largest regional libraries, is one of the ones that was closed in September. And perhaps fearing that Congress might order them to reopen it, essentially they held a fire sale and sold off all of the furnishings in the library, the bookshelves, the microfiche readers, the pencil sharpeners.
And how much had how much had EPA purchased this equipment for?
Right, it was estimated that it cost around $40,000 for those furnishings, and they sold it for a few hundred.
$350.
Right.
And the woman that bought it said, I'm going to sell it for $80,000.
Right. So, again, they claim budget, and their actions just don't begin to support it.
We're going to continue this conversation with Carol B. Goldberg, Associate Director for Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility in Washington. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Open from American Express. Southbound 270 at Big Bend, their right lane's closed due to police activity. Westbound 70 between 270 and Earth City Expressway, there is an accident reported. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Clarkson through Lindbergh, look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and 79, expect delays there. Northbound 270 between Tesson Ferry and Big Bend, look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and New Florissant, delays are possible. Westbound 5570 into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, that ramp is slow at this hour. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from 5570 split into Cleve Landing, look for delays. Westbound 64 from 15th Street into the PSP, look for slow traffic. And Laclede at North Kings Highway, there's an injury accident involving a school bus. And Telegraph at Christopher, there's an accident reported. And Kings Highway at McCree, there's also an accident reported there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Open from American Express. Open, how American Express serves small business. To learn more, visit open.com or call 1-800-NOW-OPEN. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, cloudy, chance of showers, even an isolated thunderstorm is possible this morning. Then mostly cloudy this afternoon, high around 60. This evening, mostly cloudy, colder, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 30s. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high around 60. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high around 60 as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have cloudy conditions. Our current temperature is sitting at 55 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 54. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, this is Liz Brown, and the heat is on. The third annual wake-up call blanket drive is this Friday. You can drop your blankets off starting at 6 a.m. this Friday at the station here at 265 Union, or come on down to 3035 Bell Carver House, because that's where we will be broadcasting live. It's on, folks. It's time to drop your blankets off. And if you can't make it on Friday, feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. We're open 24 hours a day. The heat is on. The blanket drive is this Friday. I'll see you there.
In the beginning, there were but a few that gave birth to a new fad in music called rock and roll. They were referred to as the legends of rock. And now Goldie's Music has compiled the greatest hits of three of these legends: Jerry Lee Lewis, Little Richard, Chuck Berry.
Well, I'm gonna write a little letter. I'm gonna mail it to my local DJ. Man, you broke my will, but what a thrill. Well, Mr. Ray, this is great. Balls of fire.
This 3-CD package is not available in stores, so call toll-free right now and order your very own copy of The Legends of Rock. Call 1-800-577-3995. That's 1-800-577-3995. 1-800-577-3995.
Hi, I'm
I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the host of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one.
We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up, you need to get to me. We have a lot to talk about. I'm having a conversation this hour with Carol Goldberg. She is an associate director for Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, and she's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about the EPA scrubbing their library website to make reports unavailable. And, Carol, as we look at some of the decisions made by the EPA to close these libraries off, I'm thinking about a story that's on the front page of the paper today about global warming, talking about the ice caps melting in 35 years, that the ice will be gone. How important is the importance of this information that is kept by the EPA? Can the importance of it be articulated when we are trying to resolve global warming? How important are these records?
They're essential, essentially. It's perhaps worth mentioning that there other federal libraries have been closed as well, the Department of Energy, which bears certainly on the issue of global warming. But it's at a time when what we need is the best of what science has to offer to confront what we're facing. Someone used the phrase, the EPA is lobotomizing itself. It's reducing the amount of information that it has to work with.
Has anything like this ever, as a purge like this, ever occurred in the EPA libraries before?
No. It seems that it is part of a broader push in the administration to reduce information that's inconvenient for political purposes.
Inconvenient truths.
Exactly.
It's also been said that some of these records will cause the EPA, their ability to respond will be reduced because they don't have access to the research on homeland security and public health topics. Talk to us about those. What kind of homeland security security issues and public health issues are also included in these records?
Well, the EPA employees need to be able to get information quickly. Say there's some sort of toxic agent introduced into the water supply or a chemical plant explosion. You want immediately to be able to lay your hands on what the impacts are and how best to respond. So that's the kind of...
And that information is housed in the library.
Exactly, and known best by the librarians who work there or did work there.
And when we look at this bird flu thing that's supposed to be coming, or these E. coli outbreaks, do they have any kind of, could they have any connection to, or should we have a library open to make certain that there isn't any environmental concern that we have about these agents that have been released?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, all of this is information that is housed in these libraries and that needs to be available.
So where is the stuff? Okay, they shuttered the library. It had $40,000 worth of equipment. They sold it for $350. They've shuttered the library. It's closed.
Right.
Where are the documents that were in that library?
Well, they have they've coined an interesting term, deaccessioning, which is basically getting rid of the material that they have. They've boxed it up, essentially, and shipped it to three repositories, as they call them, around the country. So they're basically being warehoused until they can be, or if they're actually cataloged or made available in some other fashion. But our sources in EPA say that the likelihood of that happening anytime soon is extremely unlikely.
Do we know that they've actually been boxed and shipped anywhere? Is there a possibility that the records have been destroyed?
Well, some have been. There have, at the Chemical Library in Washington, there were journals worth hundreds of thousands of dollars were found in a dumpster. The EPA says that they're not destroying anything, any unique documents, but there's an example of the kind of thing that they still consider worthy of dumping. So it just doesn't add up.
Have there been any crimes committed in this? Is it a crime to throw away these unique journals? Is it a crime to shutter this library and to sell the stuff off for half a penny on the dollar?
Whether or not it's an actual crime, if in the legal sense, I can't, I don't know. But it certainly certainly feels like a crime against the public that the agency is supposed to be serving.
10,000 scientists were protesting these library closures back in June. Is this an unprecedented act? Is this significant that we have this many scientists protesting this?
Well, yes. These were scientists, EPA scientists. So this is essentially the majority of the scientists working for the organization saying, "Stop! You are completely hindering our ability to do our job. You're harming the agency. You're harming public health, and we are asking that this be stopped."
So are all of the libraries closed?
No. They have closed three of the regional libraries, one in Chicago, in Dallas, and Kansas City. They closed the headquarters library. They closed the special chemical library that I mentioned. And they've also reduced hours and access at some of the other regional libraries, big cities, Boston, New York, San Francisco, Seattle. The word that I have gotten is that the plan ultimately is really to phase out public access to these libraries.
How can this be stopped?
Well, Congress would need to really to intervene. The budget would need to be restored, and the agency would have to be convinced that they needed to reopen the library.
Why do they have to be convinced as opposed to being ordered?
Well, they don't seem to follow orders too well.
Who are they accountable to? Who is the EPA accountable to? Are they accountable to Congress, or are they accountable to the administration?
Well,
in terms of the hierarchy here,
they're accountable to the administration. I mean, Congress can do certain things, and has. I mean, there's been a GAO, a Government Accountability Office investigation into the closures. Congress can do things like hold up appointments, refuse to approve appointments unless what they want is done. They also have control over the budget.
But that's it.
But, yeah, I mean, the president appoints the director of the agency. They can't fire the agency head.
Mm. Now, if there was a Congress that came in and they went after the EPA, and they ordered the EPA to do this, to restore things to where they were. How long would a process like that take, given all of this destruction that has taken place? How long would it take to put it back together again?
I don't know, quite honestly. I mean, especially, it seemed when they closed the Chicago Library and sold everything off, the motivation was to make it as hard as possible. I mean, they now have to, have to not just get all the materials back from wherever they've been scattered, but they'd have to start rebuilding the library from scratch.
And do we even know where these boxes of stuff are? For real. I mean, is there somebody out there that somebody could pick up a phone and say, go get those boxes that you took when you sold that library off for $350?
Well, in the sense that, you know, all the boxes, anything that hasn't been destroyed is in, you know, there's only a certain number of places it could be. But since the librarians have been let go or transferred, EPA staffers have probably been transferred. Contract employees, of which there were many, including librarians, are no longer working there.
Mm.
So, yeah, and it was done so haphazardly that I don't think, I mean, that is an act. I'm sure there's material. They have no idea where it is.
Mm. Well, Carol Goldberg, thank you so much. You're the Associate Director for Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. What's your website?
It's www.peer.org, peer.org.
Very good. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I'll be back after the break. Stay with me. And the heat is on. The third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is this Friday. You can drop your blankets off starting at 6 a.m. this Friday at the station here at 265 Union, or come on down to 3035 Bell Carver House, because that's where we will be broadcasting live. It's on, folks. It's time to drop your blankets off. And if you can't make it on Friday, feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. We're open 24 hours a day. The heat is on. The blanket drive is this Friday. I'll see you there.
This is your WGNU Global News Update. Dateline London, a term President Bush has often used to describe the fight against worldwide terrorism, is now being dropped by some of America's closest allies. The term war on terror has been appearing less and less in the public remarks of politicians such as Prime Minister Tony Blair. Now Britain's Foreign Office says they'd like to avoid the term entirely. A Foreign Office spokesman says using the term war legitimizes the other side in the fight against terror. Sir Winston S. Churchill has another view. The grandson of former British Prime Minister Winston Churchill calls the decision nonsense, adding the change is designed more to keep from offending Muslims than anything else. Churchill says the war on terror is not a war on Muslims, but a war against those radical elements of Islam that have declared war on Western democracy. He adds there are too many European governments who are in denial about the fact that the West is indeed at war with terrorists. This is your WGNU Global News Update, sponsored by Reasonable Construction.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate, 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
willing to. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Giddy-yap, 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 let's go. Let's look at the show. We're riding in a wonderland of snow.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. In the next hour, we will be having a conversation with our friends from ConnectCare. We're going to be talking about stress. I think that that's a good topic to talk about during the holiday season. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, how many of you had an opportunity to read that Iraq study group report? How many of you had an opportunity to listen to the news and the reports on the Iraq study group? Well, let me break it down for you so it stays forever broke. Embedded in the Iraq study group is the suggestion, recommendation, that the oil in Iraq be privatized. Isn't that convenient? That the oil be privatized, huh? And who's ready to step up into the mix of that? All the people that put Boy George into office. How amazed are you that you haven't heard anything from the major media talking about that? Oh, by the by, irrespective of whether we pull out today or stay in for five more years, we're privatizing the oil. We're going to talk about that in the next hour, in the 9 o'clock hour. So it's a full day for you all. And put this on your calendar for tomorrow after the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. And don't forget there's a school board meeting tonight at Carr Lane. Be there because it's going to be just... Lord, 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 Lord. There's a school board meeting tonight, but after the school watch tomorrow, we're going to take 2 hours to, I don't know, the holiday season seems to be the time that you want to put your arms around your babies and tell them that you love them and protect them and tend to them. Hmm. We're going to do a 2-hour story on how, why we need to tend to our babies. The 8 o'clock hour tomorrow, we'll be talking about the story of a teeny tiny 14-year-old baby who was sent to a state-run boot camp in Florida. You can see the tape. It's a horrible way to die. He was beaten. He was brutalized. Ammonia tablets were stuck up his nose, and then hands were placed over his nose so that he couldn't breathe. We're going to talk about that story with his attorney and his mother tomorrow on the wake-up call at 8 o'clock. And then at 9 o'clock, we're going to follow up with, because that was a state-run boot camp for babies. Do you know that there are hundreds and hundreds of private boot camps for babies and lots of dead babies all across this country, black and white, African, Hispanic, dead babies. Do you know that Missouri has boot camps, and do you know that there's not a single license that they have to get to open up a boot camp for our babies? We're going to talk about that tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. And then on Thursday, of course, we have Eye on the Lou, and then we have a 2-hour special with our year anniversary of Justice for Reggie. So you don't want to miss that on Thursday. And then Friday is the blanket drive. Get your blankets, get ready, get prepared. Let's get this done. Our blanket drive is on Friday. Get your blankets. You can bring them here to the station. Thank you so much for the, oh my goodness, dozens and dozens and dozens of wool blankets that someone dropped off yesterday. Oh, and the $500 check for 100 blankets for Phil Person yesterday, and the other 100 blankets from Lewis Reed, and the over 100 blankets from Charles Quincy Troop, and then the blankets from the International Urban Institute. Oh, my goodness. We just have so many generous people out there. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. The blanket drive is Friday. We delivered the blankets on Saturday. But for right now, Friday is our focus point. Bring your blankets out to 3035 Bell all morning long from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Also, you can also drop the blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. Just drive up to the station. You will see one of the volunteers in their Kelly Green shirts coming out to you. They'll say, volunteer, wake up call, blanket drive, warming hearts all over St. Louis. We'll be standing at the curb to take your blankets from you. Same at Carver House. You don't have to get out of your car. We'll be there to take your blankets from you. This is that third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. We're very excited that at 8:30 we're going to have the Central Visual and Performing Arts Glee Club. They're going to be coming out to sing us some holiday tunes. It's going to be a wonderful thing. We're going to have donuts. We're going to have coffee. We're going to have hot chocolate. We're going to have it all for you. So please, you know how cold it has been. You know how cold it has been. So please, $5 blankets. We're just asking folks to go get $5 blankets. $5 blankets. People deserve that. People deserve a $5 new blanket. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. And as we figure out how we are going to proceed here in the world that we live in, I'm looking at all of these stories about where our country is headed and where we are headed as a nation. And I must say that I am frightened. I am truly frightened by, I don't know, it's one of those things. It hurts in a unique way when I hear stories about how our environment is suffering. It hurts in a unique way when you hear the stories of polar bears drowning because they cannot swim the distance, because the distance has grown so far between iceberg and iceberg. They live on icebergs, and the ice is breaking up, and the ice is melting. Reports are coming out that in 35 years, the ice will be melted. The ice will be melted. And then when you couple that with the story that we just had in the last hour, that this administration is purging. Now, there's a wonderful quote that the EPA has gone feral, closing its libraries, the libraries that store all of the records of the chemicals, their impact, their history, what they do, destroying those records. Destroying those records. That's what this administration is doing. These are remarkable times that we are living in, folks. These are remarkable times that we are living in. And I fear for us. I truly do. I fear for our future. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. In the next hour, we are going to have a conversation with our friends from Connect Care. That's right, Connect Care. We're going to talk about something that a lot of you may be feeling right now, a little holiday stress, a little stress in general. Let's talk about that after this break. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Oh, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cute.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. More listening, more taking notes. President Bush still forming his new Iraq strategy. An ABC News Washington Post poll out this morning finds 70% of Americans don't agree with the way he's now handling it. More from ABC News Chief Washington Correspondent George Stephanopoulos.
The new ABC News poll out this morning has some grim news for the president. His job approval rating is down to 36%. That's close to the lowest of his presidency, and it's tied to real dissatisfaction with the situation in Iraq, as you might expect.
The violence continues in Iraq. Dozens killed, many more hurt in a pair of bombings today in Baghdad, which some say puts more pressure on the nation's prime minister.
It does not appear that Maliki's government is in imminent danger of being forced out in any kind of, you know, coup effort or anything like that. But we know that at the White House, President Bush has met with Abdulaziz al-Hakim, the influential Shiite leader. And we know today he is meeting with Tariq Hashemi, a vice president right now, a Sunni, who would also be involved, according to some here, in any new rival coalition to Maliki.
ABC's Aaron Katursky in Baghdad. Three people are dead after an early morning shooting at a strip club in New Bedford, Massachusetts. Police say the man opened fire with a high-powered rifle. He had a semi-automatic weapon and body armor. The gunman also killed himself. The trees are coming back to Seattle-Tacoma Airport just days after a rabbi's complaints prompted officials to take them down. The rabbi's attorney says they had a simple request.
What we were doing was asking that we have a menorah placed with the Christmas tree.
Airport officials say they'll consult with the rabbi next year as they plan their holiday display. Two of the Discovery astronauts go on a spacewalk today. They will begin to attach an $11 million addition to the International Space Station. It's the first of three spacewalks planned for this mission. Another celebrity DWI. Police in Southern California arrested reality TV star Nicole Richie. This is ABC News.
You'll get a lot of shopping done at Kohl's Holiday Doorbuster Sale this Tuesday and Wednesday. Kohl's has the gifts you want to give, and Kohl's is giving you extra hours to shop. Men's, women's, and kids' sweaters are 50% off. All family sleepwear is 50% off. Picture frames and candles are 50 to 60% off. Shop Kohl's Holiday Doorbuster Sale, and you just might feel ahead of the game. You know how good that would feel? Shop this Tuesday, 8 a.m. to midnight, and Wednesday, 7 a.m. to midnight. Kohl's, expect great things.
I'm a mother of three, and I'm just beginning a whole new career. I'm enjoying this part of my life every bit as much as when I was winning 18 Grand Slam tennis titles. And with delicious new CitraCal Creamy Bites, I even enjoy taking the calcium I need to help prevent osteoporosis. I'm Chris Evert. I'm 51, and I am strong. Tell us about a strong woman you know at StandStrong.com. CitraCal Calcium. Stand strong.
A hit singer from the 1950s has died. ABC's Gil Gross has more on her life and her career.
Georgia Gibbs had a string of hits in the 1950s, but this was her biggest and stirred up the most controversy. Tweedledee had been recorded by Laverne Baker, but in 1954, most radio stations would not play records by blacks, so Gibbs recorded it. But the arrangement was a carbon copy of the original. Baker tried to sue. She lost. For years, the record's been used as an example of the unfair treatment of black artists. But Gibbs' version sold a ton and made a ton for the black man who wrote the song, Winfield Scott. Her nibs, Miss Georgia Gibbs, has died at age 87. Gil Gross, ABC News.
It's one of the biggest headaches, finding a parking space. USA Today says the number of registered vehicles is up 170%, and all those cars are looking for a very limited number of spaces. Some people will pay. One driver in Boston put down nearly $250,000 for a space in an alley. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a death sentence in a St. Louis murder case will stand after the Supreme Court's decision not to hear the case. Billy Jerome Allen was sentenced to death for killing security guard Robert Heflin during a 1997 robbery at Lindell Bank and Trust. Allen's death sentence was overturned by a three-judge panel of the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals in 2004, but was reinstated later by the full court. The Supreme Court's decision means the death sentence will stand. A suspect is being sought in connection with a bank robbery in Bell Fountain Neighbors. Investigators say a man robbed the U.S. Bank on Bell Fountain Road yesterday morning. The suspect is described as an African-American male, between 30 and 40 years old, 6 feet tall with a medium build. He was last seen wearing a black suit overcoat, light-colored pants, a white shirt, dark tie, black leather gloves, and a black hat. Anyone with information is asked to call the FBI at 314-231-4324. Missouri Attorney General Jay Nixon wants to include automated political calls in Missouri's no-call law. John Foger, Nixon's press secretary, says the Attorney General recognizes these calls are a nuisance and is calling for the ban despite the fact that they could benefit him as he prepares to run for governor. Nixon's office reported more than 600 complaints from Missourians about these types of phone calls prior to last month's election. Finally this hour, health experts are warning about the health risks associated with holiday parties. Brian Quinn, a spokesperson for the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services, says serving food buffet style can present the opportunity for foodborne illnesses.
Keep a kitchen thermometer on hand and to check those foods throughout the time they're being served to make sure the hot foods are staying hot. And when I say hot, I mean about 165 degrees for most things. Cold foods, if you can keep them iced down or, you know, sitting on ice or and making sure that ice is replenished throughout.
Officials also recommend using crock pots and chemical heaters to keep hot foods at a safe temperature. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Advil. Advil PM. Tonight, spend less time lying awake with annoying aches and pains and more time asleep when you switch from Tylenol PM to new Advil PM. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Dave & Buster's. Slippery road surfaces to wet roadways are all over the area, so just use caution and give yourself some extra time. Westbound 70 at the depressed section, there's an incident on the right shoulder and traffic slowing around 4500 South Broadway. Northbound 270 between 55 and Tesson Ferry, look for an accident. The right lane is blocked. Northbound 55 at Bayless, there's an accident. Two left lanes are blocked and traffic is slowing near Lindbergh. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Clayton Warson, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and Clayton Warson, look for slow traffic in pockets as well. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road all the way into 79, look for delays. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through Big Bend, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to New Florissant, expect delays as well. northbound 55 at Mattis, and 270 looks like you've got a bit of slow traffic in pockets there. Westbound 5570 from 64 into the Poplar Street Bridge, look for delays. Northbound Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays. Westbound 55 or westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split through Laclede's Landing, look for normal traffic. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Dave and Buster's. Give and receive this holiday. Buy a gift card from Dave & Buster's and get up to $20 in free gameplay for yourself. Eat, drink, play, and be merry at Dave & Buster's. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Cloudy, a chance of showers, even an isolated thunderstorm this morning. Otherwise, mostly cloudy for the afternoon with a high around 60. This evening, mostly cloudy, colder, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 30s. Then for Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high around 60. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high near 60. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 55 degrees in cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 55 as well. Stay tuned for more of the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with the duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry. Tonight.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, and our discussion during this holiday season, I think, is a very timely one this hour. We're going to talk a little bit about stress. I think it's appropriate, and we're going to talk about it, have this conversation. Facilitating this conversation are our friends from ConnectCare, Rosetta Keaton. Good morning. Community Service Coordinator from ConnectCare. Good morning.
Good morning.
And also Dr. Catherine Matthews, Chief Medical Officer at ConnectCare. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning to you.
And I guess I kind of would like to start with you, Doctor. Define stress.
Ooh, I think we all know stress when we're going through it. It's the body tensed up, feeling out of sorts. Stress can be closely related to anxiety and depression, and it can have a real impact on our well-being, both physical and emotional.
Mm-hmm. And when we talk about stress and the things that cause it, are there internal as well as external things that cause stress?
There certainly are, although I think we often under-realize the impact of the external. I think a lot of times we think that stress has to do with who we are as individuals. And although different people process stress differently, there's so much that has to do with our environment and our own histories and the situations we're in currently.
Okay, well, we're going to continue this conversation about stress with our friends from ConnectCare, Dr. Catherine Matthews, Chief Medical Officer, and Rosetta Keaton, Community Service Coordinator. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us. Hello, this is Liz Brown, and the heat is on. The third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is this Friday. You can drop your blankets off starting at 6 a.m. this Friday at the station here at 265 Union, or come on down to 3035 Bell Carver House, because that's where we will be broadcasting live. It's on, folks. It's time to drop your blankets off. And if you can't make it on Friday, feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. We're open 24 hours a day. The heat is on. The blanket drive is this Friday. I'll see you there.
For a look at the world news that matters most to you, tune in to AM 920 WGNU's Global News Updates, weekday mornings 7:45, 8:45, and 9:45, weekday evenings at 6:45, sponsored by Reasonable Construction, 314-382-2200.
Make your holiday exciting by celebrating Christmas New Orleans style.
Come for the food.
Come for the art.
Come for the history.
Come for the sweet sounds of jazz.
Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan a December getaway filled with Revillon feasts, free concerts, French Quarter shopping, and all the excitement of Harrah's Casino. And make it last with discounted hotel rates, courtesy of Papa Noel himself. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today to get your free guide with more than $2,400 in coupons and jazz up your December New Orleans style.
Come for the fun.
Come feel good.
Come for the beauty. Come for the
spirit, heart, and soul.
Come for it all.
Come fall in love with New Orleans all over again.
Discover Christmas New Orleans style at NewOrleansOnline.com.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back. Everybody's a comedian, Howard. Blue, blue Christmas, and we're talking about stress this morning with our friends from Connect Care, Dr. Catherine Matthews, Chief Medical Officer at Connect Care, and Rosetta Keaton, Community Service Coordinator at Connect Care. Welcome back. Doctor, I'd like to continue with you. We were talking off the air about the types of stress that there are. Talk to us about that.
I think especially during the holiday season, for me it breaks down into four types of stress. There's emotional stress that we think of a lot when we think about stress in general. Physical stress with the weather, with the lack of daylight, with the expectations around eating and parties. Financial stress is huge. We're under all this pressure to show how much we love our family, and there's this formula that if you buy more gifts, you love people more, and it puts this horrible bind on us and on our pocketbooks, which is really tough in this time of year. And then for me, I also think of spiritual stress. My own faith perspective is Christian, and this is a time of year when we're celebrating the humble birth of a baby in a barn, frankly, and yet all around us is all this commercialism and bright lights and the pressure again to spend money, and that disconnect can be really tough as well.
And when we look at the emotional stress, I mean, it seems to me that there can be all kinds of things embedded in emotional stress. We have relationship things, and what other kinds of stresses are attached to emotional stress?
I think a lot of it can be the pressures we put on ourselves, and you were talking before about external and internal stress, and here I think internal stress is huge because it's not necessarily our family and everyone who's asking us to do everything. That may be our own internal voices, and that can translate into just really unrealistic time pressures about everything we have to get done, all this cooking and shopping we have to do, how many people we have to entertain. So time stress can play into emotional stress. Memory is also a huge issue around the holidays. So for those of us who have lost important family members, even if it was a long time ago, that gets kicked up because the holidays are all about being with family, and when we know someone's missing, that can be exceedingly painful.
And also when we talk about this holiday stress is additional stress if you're already bringing stress from the rest of the year along with you.
Right.
So if we're talking about this emotional stress that we experience during the holiday, the loss and all of that, should we also talk about things like loneliness and relationships that that may bring stress as well?
Well, that's another pressure with the holidays. We have these picture-perfect ideas of the holidays being about lots of people, lots of family, kind of these ideals about what our relationships are supposed to be. And maybe during the rest of the year we know that, gosh, I'm having a lot of trouble in this one important relationship, but it takes on more significance in the holidays because there's this illusion that everything's supposed to be perfect and warm and fuzzy. So that's another thing that can really up the level of stress in the holiday season.
And we were talking off of the air about this new kind of, well, not new, but new to American psychology, another stressor. And I would imagine that during the holidays, this stressor would also be enhanced, this environmental stressor that you were talking about.
Well, one of the things I find really exciting about some of the research that's done here in St. Louis has to do with the impact of neighborhoods on health. And there have been a number of different studies, some looking at safety issues and physical ability and physical decline in older people. And then there have been other studies that have looked at neighborhood safety, risk of depression, ability to bounce back from depression. This is some more of the national research. And I think it's, you know, it's been this real prejudice in American psychiatry that psychological health, mental health, is something about the individual and their individual strengths and weaknesses, and it's, and American psychiatry in general has been really blind to the impact of these larger social and cultural issues. The other thing that's tough for people who, say, aren't from St. Louis is that whole lack of connectedness to family. And so if we aren't able to travel to see our family, then that also ties in, because again, that's one of those external things, how embedded we are in our social supports. And even as families have stresses within them, families are also a tremendous resource in times of stress.
And when we look at other neighborhood environmental types of stressors, if a person doesn't feel safe in their neighborhood, or if there is a perception that their neighborhood isn't safe, or if a person is feeling those pressures to do the things for Christmas that you're supposed to do, or for the holidays that you're supposed to do the shopping, to do the food, and you don't have the access to the bus routes, or you don't have access to the stores.
Or the streets are all icy and you can't get out safely, which I know we all know.
Went through, right. Exactly.
Right? Or
exactly.
You don't have
electricity.
Right.
Or you have the fear of not having.
Right.
And even for those of us that are blessed enough to, okay, our electricity came back on and we'll be paying our electric bills and all of that, the people that can't afford to pay their electricity bill, or are worried about, okay, I got this month and I don't know if I'm going to be able to have next month, those types of stressors are something that historically that American psychology really hasn't put a lot of stock in.
Right. And those are these huge structural issues that make it tougher for folks, mm-hmm. a lot tougher.
And is there a difference of how we deal with stress based upon our age or our sex? Do elderly people deal with it differently, or does it land on them differently? Is it different for a man as opposed to a woman, for a child as opposed to an adult?
Everyone experiences stress, and some of the differences in how people both personally experience and also show stress are cultural, and some of them may be more innate. One of the things that's interesting to me, again, and I guess I'm not a psychiatrist, by the way. My training's in OBGYN. I just have an interest in these things. If you look at the psychiatry textbooks, they say, for example, with depression, that women are much more likely to be depressed. But then if you look at the things they're looking for as signs of depression, what they're probably looking at is the ways that women show depression. And if they were to look at alcohol abuse, or hours in front of the television, or irritability, being short-tempered, and if we can consider those
or
signs...
Or disconnect.
Right, mm-hmm. distance, social, mm-hmm. you know, relationship distance. If we considered those signs of depression, I think we'd quickly realize that men are as likely to be as depressed as women. We're just not capturing that. We're not recognizing it appropriately.
But isn't it also that the societal bias of the expectation that a woman would be depressed and a man would not?
One of the things I think of here is back to our history of understanding of gender back in the 19th century. Many people may not know this, but the word for uterus, one of the words for uterus comes from the Greek root hysterectomy, hysteria. And we developed, especially in the 19th century, these very strong notions that women were somehow hyper-emotional. And I think that carries through today in our understandings of gender, emotions, and stress. Instead of recognizing that we really program people to handle stress differently. We were also talking in the break about how men and women might show stress differently. I think a lot of us as women know that we tend to pour it inside. Mm-hmm. We just fold it back in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can manifest in not feeling well, in aches and pains, in our relationship to
stomach
food,
aches,
stomach aches,
hair
headaches.
Loss,
yep.
All of those things.
All sorts of things. Whereas men often externalize.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that kind of short-tempered, or in, you know, the worst-case scenarios, violence, either verbal or physical. Those are serious manifestations of stress.
How do children do it?
Well, there's, again, we also have some... I'm forgetting her name at the moment, but someone at Children's Hospital has done research on stress and depression among children. And I think we've had this notion that, you know, gosh, children don't get depressed, but they do.
I mean, what do you have to get depressed about? I mean, there's also that bias that we have about kids. You're like, you know, your world is perfect. You sit there, somebody feeds you, they bring you toys. You know, what do you have to be depressed about?
Well, first of all, for lots of kids, that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of children who may live in families that face one crisis after another, even things like food and heat and regular places to sleep are not something to be counted on. Kids in our neighborhoods witness violence, huge impact on stress and depression. And then even in families that may be more economically privileged, tension between mother and father or with other family members, kids pick up on this stuff. So some of the signs of depression in children may be aggressive play or being withdrawn. You want to pay very close attention to your child's mood and take it seriously. And as a medical issue, you would want to bring up concerns with a doctor.
Oh, and our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. We're having a conversation about stress this hour with our friends from Connect Care, Rosetta Keaton, Community Service Coordinator, and Dr. Catherine Matthews, Chief Medical Officer. My name is Liz Brown. We will be back after this break. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Centrum. Yeah, slippery road conditions out there due to wet roadways, so please allow extra time to stop and exercise caution. Westbound 70 at the press section, that incident's been cleared. You may see some residual delays. Northbound 270 between 55 and Tesson Ferry, no problems to report there. That accident is gone. Northbound 55 at Bayless, there's still an accident. Two left lanes are blocked and traffic slowing near Lindbergh. Westbound 70 at Goodfellow, there's an accident reported. That's underneath the overpass, so use caution as you roll up there. Northbound 270 from Dorset through McKelvey, there's a disabled vehicle. Left lane's blocked. Northbound 55 at Lafayette, there's an accident reported. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Clayton Warson, look for slow stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and Warson, look for stop-and-go traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and 79, you've got slow traffic out there. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through Big Bend, that traffic is starting to ease up. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and New Florissant, look for no problems there. Westbound 5570 into the PSB, expect normal traffic. Westbound Kingbridge, expect normal traffic. And northbound Route 3, that ramp is starting to ease up this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Centrum. When it comes to multivitamins, it's not just the number of ingredients, but how they interact that counts. Centrum balances combinations of nutrients that bring out their full potential. Centrum is balanced and complete. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, cloudy. Chance of showers, even a thunderstorm this morning. Mostly cloudy this afternoon, high around 60. This evening, mostly cloudy. Colder, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 30s. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high around 60. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high around 60 as well. Currently, we have 55 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 54. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, this is Liz Brown, and the heat is on. The third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is this Friday. You can drop your blankets off starting at 6 a.m. this Friday at the station here at 265 Union, or come on down to 3035 Bell Carver House, because that's where we will be broadcasting live. It's on, folks. It's time to drop your blankets off. And if you can't make it on Friday, feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. We're open 24 hours a day. The heat is on. The blanket drive is this Friday. I'll see you there.
For the issues that matter most to you, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
The babe that was born of Mary, born cold and wintry night. He lay in a manger lonely, meek, a star that shines so bright. No Noel, how the angels sing. No Noel.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. The conversation we're having this hour is a conversation about stress. And we figured that this would be a good time to talk about it in the during the holiday season, since so many of us are under stress. We're having this conversation with our friends from ConnectCare, Rosetta Keaton, Community Service Coordinator, and Dr. Catherine Matthews, Chief Medical Officer. And let me get to a caller or two. Andre, do you have a question or comment? Andre. Okay, I think we've lost Andre. Let's get back to the conversation that we were having about stress in terms of you named four different ways: emotional, physical, financial, and spiritual. We haven't talked about financial. Can we talk about that?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So, holidays, mm-hmm. presents, decorations, parties, clothes. And it's not like the paycheck really changes in December, does mm-hmm. it? So it can just be a huge pressure. And I think this is something families and friends really need to work on together. How can we create a joyous environment, a way to celebrate where it's not really hitting the pocketbook? And especially, how can we communicate to our children that loving someone doesn't mean buying them everything they want? I think these are huge issues. You know, my brother and I talk about this all the time, and we've really made a secret pact that we're going to limit the amount of presents we give to each other. Or the other thing we do is we make donations at the end of the year, and we do it in honor of family members. Mm-hmm. So for my nieces and nephews, I might do Heifer Project, which does international development work, or I might do the Humane Society because, you know, kids are very close to their pets, something like that, so that there's a way of being connected without necessarily spending huge amounts of money, but that, you know, all the advertisers want to convince us otherwise.
And the research out here is showing that the amount of commercials that they've decided that, well, okay, we're not going to focus on the parents as much as we're going to focus on the children. So they direct the commercials to the kids. And in fact, it's gone so far that pediatricians are now saying that they want this eliminated, all of these commercials directed at the kids eliminated for that reason.
Right. It's really powerful and pernicious. I have a 2.5-year-old, so it's easy to keep the TV off. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when our kids get older, that becomes much more of a battle. Mm-hmm. But those pressures are significant. And if we think as parents that we're not affected by it, I wish us all luck.
Yeah. And we haven't talked about the seniors yet. Rosetta, you work with the volunteer services at ConnectCare, and what are some of the things that you see with some of the seniors that you work with in terms of stress types of things that demonstrate to you that seniors are experiencing this?
Oh, I thought at first you were going to say, Rosetta, you're a senior.
No, I was not going to say that. That would never occur to me.
Right. I do know that's very difficult. I watched the volunteer department who primarily, the age group that primarily make up the volunteer department are people over 65. Mm-hmm. And I see a huge difference in their emotional states and their health. Mm-hmm. And I think all of that plays a lot in the makeup of these people. The stress is different, I think, for them. I think when we say seniors, I even hate to say seniors. I think about people who are basically alone, or people who don't have children, or people who don't have families. Mm-hmm. And a lot of seniors fit into that same category. But it's a difficult time, I would think, during this time of year for people who are older, maybe ailing. Mm-hmm. Some people having some illnesses, and they're alone, or they don't feel needed or wanted.
And doctor, do we have within the seniors maybe a bigger number of all of the stressors? Do seniors, you know, have access? I mean, if you're talking about financial, if we're talking about the emotional, if we're talking about the health, does it seem like seniors have a lot of the stressors?
There's certainly a number of things that really have a heavier burden for seniors. And I think the other thing that comes to mind, I don't know how much we would say this is related to age as it is related to kind of societal generation. A lot of folks who are older grew up in a time where we didn't even talk about emotions. Mm-hmm. You know, this was just not something that folks admitted. So those resources to be able...
And particularly male.
Right. And a lot of times I think we know that just to say to somebody, I'm feeling overwhelmed, mm-hmm. you know, just to be able to talk about it can be so helpful. So if you don't have that ability, or it's been a taboo, and maybe a taboo that you don't even recognize, that can be really tough. And I think that's especially true for older folks.
I wonder if... because of the way that our society is structured, that we have an additional type of a stress, a healthcare stress,
mm-hmm.
that we, because we don't have access to, a lot of folks don't have access to healthcare, as opposed to already being sick, we worry in this society that we live in about, oh my God, I can't get sick. Oh my God, my kid can't break their leg because they don't have the money to fix this if the child does. So is there something like maybe different and additional or pile on stress that we have living in this country?
That's another huge societal concern that's with us, unfortunately, all the time, and really a big burden here in Missouri with the cuts that we've had in Medicaid. And it's something where this is where Rosetta and I live in terms of making care available. So huge source of stress, but I would emphasize that here in St. Louis, there are a number of different organizations that do provide health care to people without insurance. The Federally Qualified Community Health Centers, CHIPS, La Clinica, and the County Department of Health all do primary care, so that kind of entry-level care where all of your services are coordinated. And then at ConnectCare, obviously, we do specialty care and help people get into the hospitals when they need to.
But it is there. I mean,
it's a huge stress.
Because everybody is not served. As much as we all would like everybody to be served, the reality is that everybody is not served, and people are stressed about getting served.
Right. And then the other way this plays out is for folks who don't have a regular place to go, often end up in the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
So high stress environment, high cost environment, and not a place where we can get regular ongoing care.
Get to some callers here. D.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I was listening when she was saying making donations to the Humane Society.
Mm-hmm.
You know that to get a dog or a cat from the Humane Society is over $200?
Okay.
You know, and that's really stressful. They should try to get them to bring those prices down. Before you, to me, it's reminding me of the Red Cross.
Okay.
They're supposed to do so much, and it's kind of questionable. So she should kind of make sure where she's making those donations.
Okay.
Thank you.
Isaiah.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
You're on the air, yes.
Yeah, two questions. I like to ask them, what is the stress on the kids on the school buses coming to school and leaving school since they don't have bus monitors?
Okay.
And another is one of my little pet peeves for years has been when you go to work and you open up the door on your job, you don't know which door is locked, the left or is on the left or the right, and the next day it's the left door that's open. And on a Monday, it's the right door that's open. Have you noticed that's a source of stress?
Okay, thanks for your call. I guess what I'm hearing from him are the little minor stresses and then the other types of stresses. Because, I mean, I wish that's all we had to stress about. You know, which door are we going to have to go into today? But when we talk about the stress on children, one, is how do you measure that?
This is not as much an area of expertise for me, and there are people who know a lot about this stuff. And
it be measured?
I think, you know, with adults, we certainly have ways of gauging and monitoring for stress and depression, and I'm fairly certain there are well-designed ways of doing that for young people. I think as parents and concerned friends, you got to trust your gut. I mean, most of us know stress when we see it. We can read it in another person's facial expressions, their body language, their attitudes. I'm not a school bus expert, except I did ride a school bus for years and years and years. Kids can be under a lot of stress in the school bus. The whole issue of who sits where, who's in the back, how rowdy they are, how mean they are. So those are some of the pressures that come on kids.
When we talk about the physical manifestation of stress, are there illnesses that occur as a result of ongoing stress?
Well, this is research from a while ago, which is when I was looking at this most closely. The body's immune system is really tied into our stress levels. So there were studies where they had people rate their stress level and then expose them to a cold virus. And the more stressed you were, the more easily you got the cold. So I think all sorts of things are affected by stress. I would emphasize, do not blame yourself if you're sick, right? That would be stress piled on stress. I think what we need to do is be patient with ourselves. Think about ways to do appropriate self-care, setting limits.
When we come back, let's talk about some things that people can use and do to help combat stress. Okay. I'm having a conversation with Dr. Catherine Matthews, Chief Medical Officer at ConnectCare, and Rosetta Keaton, Community Service Coordinator at ConnectCare. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us. And the heat is on. The third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is this Friday. You can drop your blankets off starting at 6 a.m. this Friday at the station here at 265 Union, or come on down to 3035 Bell Carver House, because that's where we will be broadcasting live. It's on, folks. It's time to drop your blankets off. And if you can't make it on Friday, feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. We're open 24 hours a day. The heat is on. The blanket drive is this Friday. I'll see you there.
This is your WGNU Global News Update. Dateline Algiers. A militant Islamic group in Algeria has stepped forward to claim it was behind the bombing attack on a bus near Algiers over the weekend that targeted foreign oil workers. The bomb killed the driver, an Algerian, and wounded 9 of the passengers, including an American and 4 Britons. The group Salafist Group for Preaching in Combat used an internet posting to claim credit for an attack. It said it was in retaliation for, quote, the new crusade that targets Islam and its sanctities. The bus carrying workers for a subsidiary of Halliburton was about 6 miles west of Algiers Sunday when it was hit by a roadside bomb, followed by gunfire from the attackers who staged the ambush. The U.S. government has urged the estimated 800 Americans in Algeria to secure their safety as a result of the attack, said to be the first on Westerners in several years there. This is your WGNU Global News Update, sponsored by Reasonable Construction.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate, 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and this morning we're having a conversation about stress with Dr. Catherine Matthews, Chief Medical Officer at ConnectCare, and Rosetta Keaton, Community Service Coordinator at ConnectCare. And Doctor, we were talking on our way out of the break. Okay, we've talked about all of these things that indicate stress or things that trigger stress, things you need to look out for with stress. What are some of the things that people can do to deal with stress?
Get enough sleep. We do.
So you're going to start with the hardest one first.
Yeah, you know. Well, I just think it's huge. As a society, we do not sleep enough. We burn the candle at both ends, especially when we're trying to do too much. So that also means being able to say no. We're not going to get to every party and every event. Another huge issue is eating well. One of the pressures of the holidays is with all the social events and all the hospitality, our eating can get really out of whack. And I think the body can be really sensitive to what it is we put in it. You know, are we having a good mix of fresh fruits and vegetables, or is it all sugar and cake and high-fat foods? And I think that can really take a toll. Also really be careful of alcohol. So, you know, some people might drink more during the holiday season, again, because it's a time of festivity. Be very careful, because that's really going to have an impact on your decisions, on your safety driving, and on your ability to function the next day. So really, if you drink at all, do it in moderation. And then I think what we also need to do is really make a commitment to each other with our friends and families about the financial issues and all the other kinds of pressures of the holidays, checking in with each other, recognizing that this is really not an easy time of year for lots of folks. If you know someone who's living alone, you know, I'm not saying, you know, on one hand I'm saying set limits, but you know, maybe just a phone call is really going to make a big difference to somebody, just checking in, see how they're doing. I think those are all sorts of important things. And then for those of us for whom this really is an important spiritual time of year, just really being focused in prayerfulness and really being attentive to what those deeper meanings of the season are and how those meanings can strengthen and ground us in our lives for this time of year and throughout the year in general.
And when we think about these techniques of dealing with stress, they also apply to how we have our children. I mean, mm-hmm. we watch the food that they eat, because that impacts them as well.
Right, right.
You know, and in terms of are there some physical things that we can do? Like, are there deep breathing things that we could do? Are there exercise? Does that factor into it? Things like that.
So exercise is always really important for stress management. And one of the things that's tough about this time of year with the cold and the ice is that it's harder to do it if you're used to exercising out of doors. So taking time during work to walk around, or if you live near a mall, you can go in the morning before the stores open and walk in the mall. Exercise is so important for our physical health, but it's also good for the brain. Actually helps the brain cope better with stress. Mm-hmm. So getting enough sleep, getting regular exercise, eating well, being patient with ourselves, those are really the important things, I think, for protecting ourselves in the season.
And back to some of the illnesses that manifest itself as a result of stress. Can you list off some of the illnesses?
Almost anything. I mean, obviously we think stress, we think of the mental health conditions, which, you know, a lot of people don't think of mental health issues like depression and anxiety as medical illnesses, but they are. Mm-hmm. So those are some key ways. But just the tendency to get sick, headaches, all those kind of aches and pains. We were talking a bit in the break about how when the body is stressed, when we're stressed, our muscles actually get tenser.
And Rosetta, you were talking about that.
That hurts. We can feel that.
But, I mean, the story that you were telling reminded me of that you have to be focused on yourself, and when you pay attention to yourself, sometimes you can figure things out.
Yeah, that's as you know, Liz and Dr. Matthews, I've gone through some really stressful times, and in the last month and a half, mm-hmm. and I did not recognize why I was having these aches, not pains. They've never been pains. They've just been aches in all these peculiar places that I've never had them. And so I decided to read, to go out on the Internet. I'm technologically there now. And so I went out on the internet to read what causes muscle aches. And one of the first things they said, I thought they were going to say, as my dad used to say, the heebie-jeebies. And they said...
That's an old technical word for stress.
Is that right? Well, I guess that's what that meant then, because the first word that I saw that I recognized was stress. And I thought, oh my God, stress. That's what's called these aches in these peculiar places that you just have no... You have no thought about how they could possibly be there. And I realized I sit in a position, both muscles in my calves were extremely tight and achy. And then I recognized that I've been sitting on the edge of the chair, tensing my leg muscles up, and that's why they hurt. And I thought, oh, wow, that's stress.
And that goes back to the whole pay attention to and look for patterns and look for things that are happening mm-hmm. in your body, because you may discover a couple of things or you mm-hmm. may be able to make a connect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think, and back to the other issue about what specific illnesses, I think if we pay attention that way, it's maybe different for different people, different for different cultures. This is a big headache culture.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was in medical school in Boston, there were a lot of Russian immigrants who would come in complaining of chest pain. It took folks a while to figure out that chest pain was a stress pain for these folks. So mm-hmm. they kept assuming it was heart attacks, probably the right thing to do, make sure it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a stress manifestation.
So there are cultural stressors.
Yeah.
So within the cultures that we find here in the United States, between folks of African descent within that community, are there certain cultural stressors that are unique to people of African descent?
Or ways that people might talk about it. I think, and I don't know that anyone's looked at this systematically, so I'm just going from personal impressions. I think one of the things I hear a lot is this idea that things are moving around inside the belly.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I hear much more from African-American patients than from anybody else. And I think often it represents this fear that there might be something growing in
mm-hmm.
there. And then in terms of other things breaking down, I think it's a fascinating question, and I would bet you that by different groups you would find stress coming out in different ways.
Well, like you were talking about within the Russian community,
mm-hmm.
that it was manifesting itself in these chest pains.
Right.
And I guess as a kind of a final type of thing to talk about in terms of dealing with stress, because I want to end with how do we deal
with... Be constructive.
Be constructive, and you know, now that we've explained it, let's give people some options to deal with it. You mentioned prayerful an option, but there's also meditation
mm-hmm,
too.
Mm-hmm.
That's helpful.
It can be very helpful. Now, the thing is, if you're afflicted by the heebie-jeebies, sometimes it can be hard
mm-hmm.
to center enough quietly to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's a habit that people need to develop over time. But truly to be able to be in a quiet place, to be focused, to quietly dismiss those racing thoughts can really help with physical things, even things like blood pressure.
And it goes back to taking the time out and pay attention to listening to what your body is telling
mm-hmm.
you, because that's what meditation helps you, well, directs you to do just that.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
it can help in a lot of other ways to be able to recognize that, oh my goodness, I'm sitting this way, my leg is hurting this way because I'm sitting this way.
Right. And then central to meditation is how we breathe. So deep breathing at any time during the day, even if you're not meditating. Just really focusing on the deep breath in and the deep breath out.
And one more thing, surrounding yourself with positive people.
Mm-hmm.
How helpful is that?
You don't want them to be saccharine positive.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want folks who aren't going to acknowledge how tough the holidays are.
Right.
But you want people who are positive in a grounded way,
mm-hmm.
who can be compassionate and sympathetic and supportive and not kind of get off on your pity party.
Or people that are simply focusing on the I can'ts, we can'ts, this is, you know, wowsy, that type of
right,
a thing.
Right, right.
Very good. Well, we've had a nice conversation about stress. I feel a little de-stressed.
deep breath in, deep breath out.
There you go. Dr. Catherine Matthews, Chief Medical Officer for Connect Care, and Rosetta Keaton, Community Service Coordinator. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
And happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
We're
going
to take a break, folks. Stay with us.
A 54 convertible to light blue. up for you, dear Santa baby. So hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. President Bush still plans to speak to the nation around Christmas to outline a new Iraq strategy, but he has a lot of work to do between now and then. He talked to U.S. commanders in Iraq earlier today, meets with the Sunni vice president later on. Yesterday, he talked to some retired generals and historians.
We know that one bit of advice President Bush got from scholar Stephen Biddle was discouraging about the available options in Iraq.
They're all painful. This is a question of choosing your brand of castor oil. There aren't any bonbons on the menu.
Some at the Pentagon agree a surge in force right now might help quell the violence. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
An ABC News poll says 70% of Americans don't agree with the way the president is handling the situation in Iraq. Meanwhile, at least 60 people are dead after a pair of bombings today in Baghdad. An early morning shooting outside a strip club in New Bedford, Massachusetts, has killed at least three people, including the gunman, who police say had at least two weapons and was wearing body armor.
The shooter inside of the building is also confirmed dead. We have two officers that have been shot. Their injuries do not appear to be life-threatening.
Captain Richard Spirolette, no motive yet on the shooting. What's causing this rapidly growing E. coli outbreak? ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey says the feds can't seem to figure it out.
Green onions may not be the culprit after all.
There's been no specific food implicated yet.
Dr. Chris Braden at the Centers for Disease Control, after government tests on green onions from a New York Taco Bell came up negative for E. coli. Now they are looking hard at white onions. With close to 300 suspected E. coli cases in several states, more than a dozen other people in Minnesota and Iowa became ill after eating at the chain of Taco John's restaurants. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
ABC News Money Scope. The Dow is down 14 points in early going, and the NASDAQ is off two. This is ABC News.
You'll get a lot of shopping done at Kohl's Holiday Doorbuster Sale this Tuesday and Wednesday. Kohl's has the gifts you want to give, and Kohl's is giving you extra hours to shop. Men's, women's, and kids' sweaters are 50% off. All family sleepwear is 50% off. Picture frames and candles are 50 to 60% off. Shop Kohl's Holiday Doorbuster Sale, and you just might feel ahead of the game. You know how good that would feel? Shop this Tuesday, 8 a.m. to midnight, and Wednesday, 7 a.m. to midnight. Kohl's. Expect great things.
I'm a mother of three, and I'm just beginning a whole new career. I'm enjoying this part of my life every bit as much as when I was winning 18 Grand Slam tennis titles. And with delicious new CitraCal Creamy Bites, I even enjoy taking the calcium I need to help prevent osteoporosis. I'm Chris Everett. I'm 51, and I am strong.
Tell us about a strong woman you know at StandStrong.com. CitraCal Calcium. Stand strong.
Well, they seem pretty busy. Ever wonder what the day of a squirrel's life is like? ABC's Bob Schmidt says some scientists are actually checking it out.
What's it like to be a squirrel? Biologists from the University of Illinois Chicago want to find out what makes squirrels tick and how they manage to get by in the big city, dodging everything from cars to cats. The biology team has been catching Chicago squirrels, sampling their DNA, then tracking them to see where they go and what they do. They hope to answer such unsolved mysteries as how squirrels figure out ways to get seed from the bird feeder, or why they sometimes forget where they buried their nuts. Bob Schmidt, ABC News.
You might want to think twice if you get an email with the Coca-Cola logo on it, or maybe the McDonald's logo. It may be the real thing. Then again, it could be an elaborate phishing scheme. That's phishing with a PH. The experts say you're probably going to see more schemes like this in the future. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, the Missouri Public Service Commission will hold public hearings in St. Louis in January to take comments on Ameren UE's rate increase request. The hearings will also give customers a chance to tell the PSC about service-related problems. Hearings are scheduled for January 2nd at 11:30 at the Thornhill branch of the St. Louis County Library and 5:30 at the Wohl Community Center. Two more hearings will be held on January 8th at 11:30 at the University of Missouri St. Louis and 5:30 at St. Louis Community College Forest Park. A former Waterloo, Illinois alderman will go to prison in connection with the fire at his restaurant. Michael Augustine was sentenced yesterday to 13 years in prison and must also pay $190,000 in restitution. Augustine had pleaded guilty to two counts of wire fraud, two counts of mail fraud, two counts of witness intimidation, and use of fire to commit a felony. Prosecutors say Augustine arranged the arson of his Poppin' Pizza restaurant in Cahokia in 2003. Assessors for the Commission on Accreditation for Law Enforcement are in Florissant this week to evaluate whether the police department should be reaccredited. Mark Brooks, a member of the assessment team, says the evaluation is an unbiased look at whether the department is meeting certain standards.
Deals with everything from their finances to their vehicles to anything having to do with the operation of a police department.
The final decision on accreditation will be made in March 2007. Finally this hour, the St. Louis Zoo's four cheetah cubs are doing well. Zoo officials say the one-month-old cubs weigh more than 4 pounds each and are starting to walk more steadily and make sounds. The two male cubs and two females were born on November 10th to first-time mother Lucia. The cubs and their mother will remain off display for several months at the zoo's cheetah breeding center. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Open from American Express. Open, how American Express serves small business. To learn more, visit open.com or call 1-800-NOW-OPEN. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Dave and Buster's. Northbound 55 at Bayless. There's an accident that's been cleared. It's backed up through Lindbergh. Expect delays, but they are easing this hour. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Hanley. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Ballast and Knight. You've got slow traffic there as well. Old Halls Ferry at Lindbergh. There's an injury accident. Possible rescue even. South Van Deventer at Shaw, there's an accident reported. And Iowa at Keokuk, there's a report of a broken water main. The only other delays are those that are rolling into the Poplar Street Bridge at this hour. Other than that, everything looks pretty good. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Dave and Buster's. Give and receive this holiday. Buy a gift card from Dave and Buster's and get up to $20 in free gameplay for yourself. Eat, drink, play, and be merry at Dave and Buster's. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Cloudy, showers, and a possible thunderstorm this morning. Otherwise, mostly cloudy this afternoon. A high around 60. For this evening, mostly cloudy, colder in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 30s. Wednesday and Thursday, mirror image both days, partly cloudy, highs in the 60s on both days. Currently, we have clouds and 55 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight.
Welcome back. Oh, welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and my number here is 1-877 920WGNU. Please don't forget that the Wake Up Call is archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you have missed an hour, please go get your hour at WhiteRoseSociety.org. And we are streamed at 24/7. WGNU is streamed at WGNU.net. So you can listen online if you can't get your radio with you now. We had a whole lot of conversation all last week. It's almost like Paul Revere. The Iraq study is here. The Iraq study group is here. The Iraq study group report is here. So we heard it all last week. The report is here. The report is here. And it seems like all we're hearing about, mostly what we're hearing about, is what is George Bush going to do? Are we going to stay in? Are we going to get out of Iraq? Are we going to talk to Iran? Are we not going to talk to Iran? Are we going to make certain that Syria is not included in the conversation? What are we going to do about the conversation? And yet and still, page one, chapter one of the Iraq Study Group report reminds the world that it is the world's second largest known oil reserve. Is that significant? I think we need to talk about that. And to facilitate that conversation, I have Antonia Yuhas, a visiting scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies, joining us from San Francisco. What is the elephant in the room? I think the elephant in the room is oil. So let's talk about that. When we come back, my name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me. Hello, this is Liz Brown, and the heat is on. The third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is this Friday. Can drop your blankets off starting at 6 a.m. this Friday at the station here at 265 Union, or come on down to 3035 Bell Carver House, because that's where we will be broadcasting live. It's on, folks. It's time to drop your blankets off. And if you can't make it on Friday, feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. We're open 24 hours a day. The heat is on. The blanket drive is this Friday. I'll see you there.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
What America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I've found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds. Those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work, to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This hour we are having a conversation with a visiting scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies in San Francisco, Antonia Yuhas, and we're talking about, is it still about oil in Iraq? Antonia, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Liz.
It's my pleasure. Is it still about oil? Is it still about oil?
Yes, you'd be hard-pressed to hear that anywhere else but right here with you and I. But, yes, it shockingly enough is still about oil in Iraq, and I think that that is the bottom line for why the Bush administration is keeping our troops there.
And, in fact, it's part of a recommendation, recommendation number 63. Let's talk about that one. What does it say?
Yeah, absolutely. In the Iraq Study Group's report, recommendation 63 says that the United States should help Iraq in reorganizing its national oil industry on a commercial basis, and that that oil industry should be made open as quickly as possible to foreign private energy and oil companies.
Now, wait a minute. Let's slow down just for a second.
Mm-hmm.
The words actually say that we're here to assist Iraqi leaders to reorganize the national oil industry as a commercial enterprise?
That's right. That's right. And not just that, but that foreign oil companies, and I presume that there's some interest in those being American oil companies.
You think?
Maybe. would get access. So basically open up Iraq's oil industry. That term, reorganizes a commercial enterprise, could mean full privatization. It most likely means, based on other work that the Bush administration has been pursuing for about 3.5 years now, the ideal dream of the U.S. oil industry, which is not to literally own Iraq's oil and fully privatize Iraq's oil system, because they are wise enough to know that that wouldn't be met very well by the Iraqi public, but rather to have the Iraqi government technically own the state oil company and then have every job that it does privatized and opened up to foreign companies so that they get control ultimately of Iraq's oil under the ground without having to say that they own it, and then under terms that are highly, highly favorable to the private oil companies. What they've been proposing is something called, they meaning the Bush administration and U.S. oil companies, production sharing agreements, which are contracts that no oil-rich nation on the planet uses because they are so biased towards the private companies as opposed to getting money and control into the host government. And nobody could argue that Iraq is a country that doesn't need the benefits of its oil wealth.
Now, right now, the oil is nationalized. It's a national oil industry. Tell us what that means.
Yeah, and it's nationalized just like every other Middle East every other Middle East country. So what that means right now is that the state government owns every enterprise that has anything to do with the oil industry. So that means the production and exploring for oil and refining it into gasoline and all the pipes and all of the decisions over how oil is explored for and produced. And that's all controlled currently by the central government of Iraq. And little reported here, the government's actually doing very well on that task. Oil production in Iraq prior to the war was 2.5 million barrels of oil per day. It is and has been at about 2.2 million barrels per day ever since the war. That's certainly lower than
well, it's the best thing going in the country.
Exactly.
So, okay, so it's nationalized now. They own they control their own oil. What would have to occur to allow this to happen? The privatization of why would Iraq, two questions. Why would Iraq agree to do that? Mm-hmm. What would it be in it for the citizens of Iraq? And secondly, what would have to happen to make that happen?
There's only one reason to do it, and that's because there are 144,000 foreign troops occupying the country. Mm. That's a very good element of persuasion. It has nothing to do with the interests of the Iraqi public, who haven't had any voice in the matter. There's a huge distinction that should be made between the Iraqi government and the Iraqi public, just like here, a pretty big distinction. The current government of al-Maliki owes his entire existence as as the head of his government, to the ongoing occupation of Iraq by the U.S. government.
But he still wants to live, doesn't he? I mean, somewhere
he's between a rock and a hard place, to say the least. But you know, power is something that's quite difficult to turn off once you've, or to shun once you've got it. And he's very interested in maintaining his position. Right now, that means working with the U.S. government. And what needs to happen to have this change take place is a slow process that the Bush administration has been working on since before the invasion, which is a new national oil law for Iraq, which turns the oil company into a commercial enterprise. And secondly, a rewriting of the Iraqi constitution to ensure that all of that control over Iraq's oil flows to the central government, as opposed to being divvied up between the regional governments, simply because U.S. oil companies feel that they're more likely to get what they want out of the central government, which is more under the sway of the U.S. occupation, than if it was divvied up between the Shia and the Sunni and the Kurds, where they feel like there could be less opportunity for them to cash in.
Now, how would this amendment to the Constitution occur? Would there have to be another vote, or would this be a parliamentary procedure?
It would be a parliamentary procedure, and then so first there would have to be a committee that would meet, and this is already essentially what the Iraq Study Group report calls for is one a U.S. advisor to work with the Iraqis on the passage of this new oil law. But that mm-hmm. is already happening and has been happening for well over a year. A U.S. advisor from a company called Bearing Point, Inc., a private consultant firm in Virginia, has been advising, quote-unquote, the Iraqi ministry on the new oil law for well over a year.
So what does that mean, the quote-unquote advising? What are the job details?
Well, let's try and get him on your radio show next week, because I would love to hear him say what that means. My interpretation of what it means is that you know, he's there to constantly put pressure as a representative of the U.S. government.
So he's an actual, this is a private entity
yeah.
who is working at the behest of the United States government.
That's right.
He's not a governmental person at all.
Not at all, no. So that means he doesn't answer to anyone except for his own bosses, who then answer to the Bush administration. But he, you know, has certainly no, there's no oversight by the U.S. Congress over what his activities are, for example.
And there's also a U.S. State Department's Oil and Energy Working Group. What is that?
Yeah, meeting both before the war and after the, before the invasion and after the invasion, this working group was set up in the Bush administration State Department to essentially craft what would be Iraq's oil infrastructure following the invasion. And their framework is essentially exactly what we're seeing right now, almost to the letter, actually, that Iraq would be open to private foreign corporate investment and that it would use this model production sharing agreements. And that's what we're seeing put into place now in Iraq. And 3 days after the Iraq Study Group report came out, the New York Times reported, and this was the first time they mentioned anything to do with oil in their reporting, of the study group, that Iraq was within days from finishing this new oil law, that it should be passed by the end of the year, and that, you know, everything's moving in lockstep to what the Bush administration or the study group has called for. And in this instance, if not in several others in the report, the Iraq study group is exactly in line with the Bush administration.
So is that true? Is it going to happen by the end of the year?
I hope not. They've been saying that the Iraqi government has been saying for about a year that the oil law would be passed by the end of this year. So they're still on their stated schedule. If it becomes law, that is a tremendous victory, an incredibly disturbing victory for the U.S. oil industry. Essentially, they will have achieved from the war exactly what they wanted.
And I want to underscore what chapter one of the Iraq Study Group stated, that this region has the world's second largest known oil reserve. What does that mean for the U.S.?
Yeah, and that really can't be understated, and I have to thank the Iraq Study Group for making such an excellent case for why this war is about oil. Iraq should be thought of literally as a pimple of oil. It is bursting at the seams with oil, but because of 10 years of economic sanctions and 10 years of the Iran-Iraq war, there has essentially been no exploration for Iraq's oil or production of its oil for about 20 years. That means they've been working off of the same about 17 oil fields, while there are about 86 known oil fields in the entire country. That means all of those other oil fields haven't even been tapped. It is cheap. It's easy to get at. Everyone knows it's there. Everyone knows where it is. There's no risk, no cost. You just have to stick a pipe in. This is the dream country of the U.S. oil industry and has been for quite some time. And, you know, were they to get their hands on this oil, it's worth literally trillions, trillions of dollars. And particularly on today's market where a barrel of oil is worth so much money and gasoline is worth so much money, it's really... There's a report that came out by a think tank that was called Iraq's Oil, a Bonanza in the Waiting, printed before the war, and that's an understatement.
What about their neighbors? What are their neighbors? What is Saudi Arabia? What do other countries, other oil-rich countries, how do they feel about the privatization of Iraq's oil? Is that beneficial to them?
You know, it is different by every country that you talk to, that you would look at. Now, OPEC certainly has no interest in a fully privatized Iraqi oil sector. But as I said, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think the oil companies want that either. But we will, I guess, have to wait to find out what each of the countries think if we can get more attention, more public attention to their interests.
We have to take a break. I'm talking to Antonia Yuhas, a visiting scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies, and we're talking about the centerpiece of the Iraq Study Group's report, the advocacy for securing foreign companies' long-term access to Iraq oil fields. It's all about the oil, baby. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back. Brown, and the heat is on. The third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is this Friday. You can drop your blankets off starting at 6 a.m. this Friday at the station here at 265 Union, or come on down to 3035 Bell Carver House, because that's where we will be broadcasting live. It's on, folks. It's time to drop your blankets off. And if you can't make it on Friday, feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. We're open 24 hours a day. The heat is on. The Blanket Drive is this Friday. I'll see you there.
Now Goldie's Music presents the ultimate 50s vocal group collection called Doo-Wop Greats. Yes, you get the Cadillacs, the Platters, the Crests, the Del Vikings, Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, the Rivieras, the Kleptones, the Chantels, the Flamingos, Little Anthony and the Imperials, the Olympics, and the Five Satins, plus many more. Yes, you'll be singing along to the greatest doo-wop songs ever recorded.
I wonder, wonder who
doo-wop greats. All songs have been digitally remastered for the highest quality. Call now and add doo-wop greats to your collection. Call 1-800-577-3995. That's 1-800-577-3995. 1-800-577-3995. Call 1-800-577-3995. That's 1-800-577-3995.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Dashing through the snow, yeah.
Wow. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. This morning I'm having a conversation with Antonia Juhas, a visiting scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies. She's joining us from San Francisco. We're talking about privatization of the oil. Is that the reason why we're there in Iraq and the Iraq Study Group's report? One of the recommendations, Antonia, that I've seen in the study group, that this privatization, or the constitutional changes that would need to occur to allow for this privatization, be pursued on an urgent basis.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a fight brewing in Iraq over, obviously, who's going to control Iraq's oil. And the most recent constitution of Iraq, which the United States had a very large hand in drafting, is essentially ambiguous as to what should happen with all of those undeveloped oil fields that I mentioned. Currently developed fields, just those 17, are definitely in the hands of the central government, but then it leaves ambiguous what's to happen with the rest of the fields. And the reason why it was left ambiguous was because the Americans knew there would have been no consensus on that constitution if they had clarified it there.
Mm. Now, one of the things that you mentioned before the last break was you talked about the U.S. State Department's Oil and Energy Group Working Group that it met between 2002 and 2003, and their conclusion was also that Iraq should be privatized. Iraq oil should be privatized. Can we do kind of a family tree here? Because there are some other. It's interesting who's showing up where. Talk to us about the Heritage Foundation releasing a report in 2003.
Yes.
And who's on that?
Yeah, there's two members of the Iraq Study Group, Edwin Meese, and it sounds like you've got my op-ed in front of you. The other man that I name.
Edwin Meese and James Carafano.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Two members of the study group who also work at the Heritage Foundation or are representatives of the Heritage Foundation. And the Heritage Foundation is one of the preeminent conservative think tanks in Washington, D.C. that has for many years, particularly for the neocons, just written out for them proposals and legislation that comes into law. And the Heritage Foundation actually wrote a report before the invasion of Iraq that called for the full privatization of Iraq's oil industry. And I believe that the reason why the language is left fairly vague in the Iraq Study Group report, as I said, that sentence reorganized as a commercial enterprise, is in itself fairly vague, is to have open on the table anything from full privatization to what we call privatization light, the production sharing agreements. But clearly the interests of the study group are significantly more towards the bent of ensuring as much access as possible to U.S. oil companies, and there's no better family tree to cite there than James Baker III and Lawrence Eagleburger, two key members of the working group. James Baker and Lawrence Eagleburger, both in the 1980s, while working in the Reagan administration, worked aggressively with Saddam Hussein to increase U.S. access to Iraq, both oil companies and other companies. And then both of them turned around and cashed in on those relationships, with Lawrence Eagleburger becoming the president of Kissinger Associates, a multinational or a consultancy firm for multinational companies, helping those companies get contracts in Iraq with Saddam Hussein. And then James Baker III, his family law firm, Baker Botts, where he is a senior managing partner today, is one of the country's preeminent oil law firms representing oil companies in the Middle East.
So if I'm understanding twisted family tree here. four members of the Iraq Study Group have all been advocating for or getting advantage from or getting revenue from the advocacy of the privatization of the oil in Iraq.
Yeah, and James Baker, in addition, and Lawrence Eagleburger came back into government working for the senior Bush administration, and literally up until Hussein invaded Kuwait, the senior Bush administration was loaning Hussein billions of dollars of money with which Hussein was then turning around and buying U.S. products. The United States was exporting enormous quantities of oil from Iraq. But Hussein wouldn't give us the big prize, which is access to Iraq's oil under the ground. And now, lo and behold, Hussein's gone, and U.S. corporations may, in fact, get that big prize.
I'm sorry, I don't think I heard you correctly, Antonia. Saddam Hussein said no to the oil under the ground, and he was getting along fine with everybody, but he said no to the oil underground, and now we have, and now that he's gone, we have access to oil under the ground.
And not only that, Hussein had actually been signing in the 90s oil contracts with other foreign oil companies, the French, the Russians, and the Chinese in particular. But because of the sanctions, none of those contracts could come into force. However, you know, the writing was on the wall. Global public opinion was turning aggressively against the sanctions. If the sanctions were removed while Saddam Hussein was in power...
The agreements would be valid.
Exactly. And we, U.S. oil companies, would be shut out.
So what about the troops? Why, I mean, what are the roles of the troops in Iraq with respect to the oil fields and the oil?
Well, U.S. troops, you know, I wrote a book called The Bush Agenda, Invading the World One Economy at a Time, where I interview a soldier who has served three tours in Iraq. He's only 24 years old, and he joined the military after September 11th because he wanted to defend his country. And he went to Iraq believing that he was fighting for all the right reasons. And the very first assignment he was given once they crossed the border was to guard an oil facility.
Mm.
And he said from that point on he knew something was amiss. What I believe is that U.S. soldiers are being forced to stay in Iraq to continue to put pressure on the Iraqi government and then to act as, a really powerful security force that would help protect U.S. oil companies once and if they actually get these contracts to then go to work. And that's the reason why the Bush administration, but also the Iraq Study Group, have no intentions of bringing the troops home anytime soon.
Let me get to a caller. Car phone.
Yes, Liz. I just wanted to make a quick comment.
Mm-hmm.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, you can go back to the late 40s and the early 50s in Iran when Mohammad Mossadegh was the president, who was pro-West, wanted to nationalize the oil fields in Iran and denied British Petroleum a monopoly in the oil fields. And the CIA quickly moved in. They went in and they started unrest in Iran. They were killing people, and they blamed it on Mohammad Mossadegh. Basically removed him and put the Shah in power, and America got what they want. Same thing is happening. Have a nice day.
Deja vu all over again, Antonia?
Absolutely. An excellent point. And it's actually... what's happening now between the Bush administration and Iran is obviously a deja vu all over again as well. There are many within the Bush administration who feel very strongly that Iran was ours. It was our big oil faucet before the Iranian Revolution, and that since the Iranian Revolution we've been unfairly shut out. And I think that is certainly one of the reasons why the Bush administration refuses to take military action against Iran off the table.
Antonia, can we ascertain how many of our troops are committed to or are assigned to the protection of the oil fields?
Yeah, the Iraq Study Group does say in particular that the U.S. military should continue to be used to guard oil infrastructure. And the U.S. military has been doing that. They've been protecting oil fields, oil pipelines, distribution points since, as I said, since the invasion began. And as far as I know, and I've tried to find it, there is no public figure on what percentage of the troops are being used for this purpose. But it's not a small figure because, as I said, the oil is being produced, and it's being produced at fairly high quantities.
Well, successfully, given how everything, the electricity is not there, the hospitals are not there, the water's not there, but yet oil production is only down by a teeny tiny percentage.
Yeah.
So there are troops committed there because isn't that one of the ways that war is waged against invaders to a country, or is to go after the oil lines? And we're not seeing the attacks on the oil lines.
Absolutely, absolutely. As your caller said, this is a long history. It doesn't start in Iraq, and that the United States is certainly seeking to protect not only where the oil is under the ground, or to get at where the oil is under the ground, but also to protect supply routes. For example, Afghanistan, a very important way station to get oil out of the Caspian region. You need a pipeline to get it out, and Afghanistan is the place for the pipeline. This has certainly been done. The good news, however, is that these same troops that we're talking about are coming back from Iraq, and they're pissed off, and they are talking, and they are saying, we are there for all the wrong reasons.
Well, we're there for what the conspiracy theorists said we were there for.
Yeah. There's an amazing group called Iraq Veterans Against the War, which is currently, they're actually touring around the country right now trying to spread just this message, and they should be a great reason for hope for everybody listening, that even though this has happened before, it doesn't mean the end result has to be just what the oil companies want.
I had a person that called up my show a couple of weeks ago, a taxi driver, who said that he had a fare that was a soldier, and the soldier said, I'm going to tell you this because I can't tell anybody else this. My job in Iraq is to, I work on a ship, we pump the oil out, and we take the oil, and we put the oil in our reserves here in the United States. He told the taxi driver that, he said, and I can't tell my mother that, my father that, I can't tell anybody that, and I want you to let me off here at this gas station because I don't want you to know where I live so that you can't attach this story to me. Is that possible? Is that something? I mean, it would be a Pulitzer Prize-winning story, but is that possible given the dynamics of what's going on with the oil right now? And I want you to cogitate on that for a moment.
Okay.
We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Antonia Juhas, a visiting scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies in San Francisco, and she is also the author of The Bush Agenda, Invading the World, One Economy at a Time. I'll be back.
This is your WGNU Global News Update. Dateline United Nations. Kofi Annan says putting an end to the Arab-Israeli war would help with other Middle East hotspots like Iraq and Lebanon. In his final report before stepping down as UN Secretary General, Annan said four international Middle East mediators are increasingly powerless to help gear things towards peace. Those mediators include the U.S., Russia, the European Union, and the UN. He said the four members need to work together to revive the peace process and involve Israel and Arab states directly in its work. Ban Ki-moon of South Korea will take over as UN Secretary General on January 1st. Dateline Toronto. There may be no ice during the summer in the Arctic as early as 2040, according to a team of American and Canadian scientists. The group also says the ice sheet could begin to melt four times faster than it does now within 20 years. The melting ice will cause a loss of habitat for animals as well as a rise in sea levels. The study is published in the scientific journal Geophysical Research Letters. The researchers believe greenhouse gas accumulation will cause sporadic periods of freezing and melting in the Arctic. This is your WGNU Global News Update, sponsored by Reasonable Construction.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate. 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
Now Goldie's Music has compiled the very best of Dean Martin in a 3-CD package called
Everybody Loves Somebody Sometime.
Yes, you get 36 of the very best of Dean Martin.
Send me the pillow that you dream of.
This greatest hits package is not available in stores, but only available through this special radio offer. It's the very best of Dean Martin.
You're nobody till somebody loves you. So find yourself somebody to love.
All songs have been digitally remastered for the highest possible quality. Add the very best of Dean Martin to your collection today. Here's how to order. Call 1-800-577-3995. That's 1-800-577-3995. 1-800-577-3995.
You'll be swell. You'll be great.
Hey, everybody. This is Scott Cooper. Stay tuned for my show, Floral Design Inside and Out, coming up next on WGNU.
Honey, everything's coming up roses.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This hour I'm having a conversation with Antonia Juhas. She's a visiting scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies. She's also the author of The Bush Agenda, Invading the World, One Economy at a Time. And she also is the author of an op-ed piece out of the LA Times. It's still about oil in Iraq. And let me get to another caller or two here. Bob, you have a question for my guest, Ms. Juhas.
Yes, I do. And thank you, Liz, for again bringing someone to tell the American people what the rest of the world already knows. But I'm going to mention three things and ask her if she could comment on them in the order she would like. First is whether or not Mr. Shalaby, who was one of our point people in getting us into Iraq, is now holding a oil ministry job in Iraq. The next one is the Russian debt and how much money the Iraqis owe to the Russians for putting in their oil operations and how that debt has not been paid. And the last thing is what part did it play for Saddam Hussein to tell us that he no longer wanted to be paid in dollars but in euros. Now, I hope that if she remembers those and can follow them, because I think all of those have a whole lot to do with the word oil, which was not allowed to be spoken before we went in, and now it seems to be
all
the only
about
thing we're going way that we're going to get out. So thank you.
Thank you, Antonia.
Yeah, excellent questions. The first is on Shalaby. Shalaby did a quick stint in the Iraqi oil ministry, but is no longer there, and he's been bounced around, frankly, so many times within different ministries that I'm not sure where he's ended up at this point. He is definitely still a power broker trying to realign himself with the United States, and has done so with lesser and greater potential at just a different time since the invasion has begun. I believe he's now pretty solidly on the outs, but the United States is definitely looking for friends anywhere it can get them within the Iraqi government, so we may yet see Chalabi reemerge, but he's certainly in disfavor with Iraqis themselves. Then on the debt to the Soviet Union, Actually, Iraq's enormous public debt, the vast majority of it is owed to Saudi Arabia and to Kuwait. Iraq is still paying reparations to Kuwait for Saddam Hussein's invasion of Kuwait, and that amounts to billions of dollars. And then Saudi Arabia holds an enormous pocket of debt because of money that Saudi Arabia contributed to Saddam in the Iran-Iraq war, but which Saddam considered to be a donation and the Saudis considered to be a loan. And in fact, prior to Saddam Hussein's rule, the Iraqi oil infrastructure was or system was incredibly, incredibly successful. It not only generated, of course, enormous quantities of money, but it was all retooled back into Iraqi society, fairly unprecedented. It was reinvested into infrastructure, into healthcare, into education, into the provision of public services in a way that should be a model for other countries.
And that's all been destroyed.
Oh, yeah, that's all been completely destroyed. And what was the third question?
The third question is, what part did Saddam Hussein's decision to I want to be paid in euros as opposed to dollars have with this?
Yeah, it's definitely an emerging issue of oil-rich countries at least stating that they're going to shift their currency from dollars to euros. You know, I think on the list of all the reasons to invade Iraq, that was certainly low on the list.
But it was on the list?
On the list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It would be detrimental to the U.S. dollar. However, the shift to euros would have to be done in participation with the European Union. It would have to, for example, print enough euros for oil to be exchanged in euros. And I don't see the European Union making that decision against the United States, at least anytime soon.
And let me ask you this. Okay, you've written this op-ed piece for the L.A. Times. What kind of feedback are you getting on this?
Amazing feedback, but, you know, not from the mainstream media. It's been extremely, extremely well received on radio, radio programs like yours, thank goodness, and among you know, those who know a thing or two about Iraq's oil. And I've been, you know, extremely happy to be essentially spending every hour since I wrote the article talking on radio programs and talking to other folks. What has not happened is that this story, you know, hasn't broken into every American's living room, which I think it absolutely must. I think it's the final linchpin to ending the war, is to expose the last reason why U.S. troops are still there. And I think that, you know, I know that my goal in revealing this information or just making it obvious is that it needs to be brought into our lexicon when we talk to our friends and our families, and not to mention our elected officials, you know, as to why the war needs to end.
Were you surprised that this was in the L.A. Times?
The Los Angeles Times has been an incredible supporter of my work from the very beginning. And no, I was not surprised that they published it. You know, while the Los Angeles Times is now the third largest newspaper in the country, it's still, I would argue, a radical, almost alternative media source. And, you know, they have been incredibly supportive of me. I've written many, many op-eds for the LA Times, but let's just say that I've submitted a similar quantity to the New York Times and the Washington Post, and they have not printed me. So I have to say, you know, the Los Angeles Times deserves kudos from all of us.
And with respect to the question that I asked you to think about during the break about the possibility, like the soldiers said to a taxi cab driver, you know what, my job is to load up the tankers and with the oil from Iraq and ship them to the reserves here in the United States.
Well, what I know is certainly happening is that U.S. oil companies, Exxon, Chevron, Marathon, and Conoco, are all exporting Iraqi oil, marketing it, and have been since the war began. And they are making billions of dollars off of that enterprise. And that would then go to their commercial uses, and they could then sell that oil to the United States for its own reserves. And that is a legal process. If, in fact, the U.S. government is directly taking Iraqi oil and putting it directly into our reserves. That's very, very troubling. And
Is it possible, given the chaos that is going on in Iraq? Is that possible?
Yes, it's certainly possible. Yeah.
And Antonia, after you finish this article, I want to read the last line of it. We can thank the Iraq Study Group for making its case publicly. It is now our turn to decide if we wish to spill more blood for oil. And that's really where we are. This is about blood for oil.
Absolutely. It's definitely where we are. And, you know, unless we, the American public, really continue to rattle the cage of our Congress and the president, we're not going to see any changes, because, as has been reported, the Democrats have responded very favorably to the Iraq Study Group report. And
how scary is that?
Very scary. Very disturbing and very scary. They cannot be allowed to spend the next 2 years coasting in hopes that that's how they're going to gain the presidency, and that's their current agenda.
Well, coasting and then giving cover for the stealing of the oil.
Exactly, exactly.
Antonia Yuhas, thank you so much for joining me on the show this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Happy holidays. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. We're at the end of another day. Don't forget that there's a school board meeting tonight at 6 o'clock at Carr Lane. You need to be there. And don't forget your blankets. Please feel free to stop by and drop them off at the station if you can't make it for the blanket drive on Friday. It's this Friday. Get your blankets. And, oh, my goodness, what a great, great, great show. What a great day Wednesday is going to be. We're going to do, St. Louis Public Schools Watch, but we're also going to have the attorney who represented the young man, the baby, who was murdered in the state-run boot camp in Florida, the baby, where we've seen it on video. We are watching this baby murdered. We're going to have the attorney on and his mother on tomorrow at 8 o'clock. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, I'm going to have a guest on to talk about the babies that are dying in the privately owned boot camp. Do you know that they have boot camps here in Missouri? And you don't even have to have a license to open one. All of that and more, all of that and a bag of chips tomorrow. Coming up is Floral Design Inside and Out, Scott Cooper. My name is Liz Brown. Until tomorrow, thanks for listening and stay strong.
So hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do